next mile to bring sight to the blind man and sound to the left child. We will survive in this country wilderness. Swimming through the waters of Babylon like a rebel fish. Jungleist, specialist, critical and survivalist. Spitting heaven fire from his lips. Burn a slave driver.
Welcome, listeners.
It's the Black people of America.
To time for an awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." We as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It's all about getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the homepage, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Catch the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And then at TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream your program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. And do me a favor before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program, with the fan page on Facebook, and Time for an Awakening Media is there. Always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening Media, interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, and share with your friends. Also, check out that Time for an Awakening Marketplace and our partnership with the B.B. Toomey. Always interesting things being put in marketplace all the time. African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much, much more being taught by both professors on the continent and in the diaspora. So again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. It's 7:09 here in the city of Philadelphia on this hot summer evening. I guess the temperature's up around 90-plus degrees, and we're in freestyle, not freestyle Friday, but we're in open forum Sunday, I guess you could say. We're in open forum tonight. Anything that's on your mind, you can give us a call. We'll talk about it on this rare Sunday where we don't have guests. I think that's been the second Sunday in a row, but it is what it is. You're the guest this evening, so you can do that and join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies, everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And 7:14 here on this hot summer evening here in the city of Philadelphia on July 12th. Before we get started with our program, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir. Brother Elliot, how you doing there?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, you know, bathing in the sun, you know, and trying to fight, you know, dealing with the humidity is not high. So that's a good thing. But it's a, you know, as usual, you know, for us. Hey, Elliot, I really feel that we're in a kind of, I feel excited in the moment as I am skeptical, not skeptical, what should I say, as I am this moment provides us a real strategic thinking moment that I'm excited about. That's the way I'll frame it, because we're this moment asks us to solve problems more than, you know, just explaining what is going on. And I think having that dialogue, I'm really noticing people working through a lot of things and providing solutions, you know, in more common terms, whether it be about their health or, you know, just about their organizational building or family relations. And I'm kind of liking that. You know, I think that's stimulating. So it's all good.
Yeah, listen, Richard, we talked about this on the program. It's a lot of things happening rapidly almost each week. It's something going on that gives us an opportunity where the door is there where we can walk through it and start developing strategies to redeem the minds of our people. The door is there. And it's I don't know how long it's going to stay open, but it's a crack in that door. It's a crack in that fissure, and we need to push the rest of the way through, and we could do it. It's people doing it.
Right.
And plus, it's an opportunity for people that haven't been involved in doing anything to get involved in doing something.
And that's why I like this moment, you know, and as you said, you know, and describing that crack, because for me, I'm one of these people who are saying I may be wrong, and hopefully you or the Time for Awakening audience might correct me. One thing that I promote is that one thing that Black people do, and I'm only speaking in North America in general and around in my world, is that we talk. I mean, you know, we do a lot of talking. And the thing is that it's okay to talk, but it's a difference between talking to solve problems and talking to be gossiping. And I think that if we're this crack, and we're talking about solving problems, that talk becomes motivating, becomes visionary, becomes strategically thinking, and that's a good thing. But just gossiping, who did what to who, and what they going to do, that doesn't do anything for us. And that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping. If we at least take this crack in this moment and build on that, and that would assist the next generation to, you know, listen about, you know, and start talking and continuing the problem solving process.
Yeah, listen, we can talk about a lot of issues tonight. It's open forum. One thing I do want to talk about is, and for folks that weren't aware, although it has made, along with local national news, in regards to the player on the Philadelphia football team, the Eagles, Deshaun Jackson, made some remarks on social media. I think it was last Sunday. It made the news on Monday and started a firestorm here in reference to his remarks.
Mm.
I do want to talk about that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program, because I think it's important to talk about it. From a Black perspective,
right?
Because we've been hearing all these other perspectives, and we've been hearing some Black folks talk about it from an ignorant perspective or side with other people's perspective. So we'll talk about it from a Black perspective tonight. And we can kick around some other issues. You know, some of the callers might have some things. I'm gonna bring a few things up. We see that almost each day, Richard, this coronavirus is setting new records here in this country, world records, as far as cases being reported and hospital emergency rooms filling up in a lot of these states, to the point where, you know, if you need some type of emergency surgery and things like that, a lot of things are being pushed to the back burner because a lot of these emergency rooms are filling up. And then again, they're having a glut or a dearth of ventilators and things of that nature. The World Health Organization the other day put out I guess you could say, a proclamation to the world. It came out on the 10th of July, And let me read a little bit of this, because it's a message to the United States in particular, in my opinion. Let me read this and get your opinion on this, Richard. World Health Organization Chief blasts lack of leadership and calls for global unity as coronavirus cases mount worldwide. The Director General of the World Health Organization has condemned the lack of leadership in fighting the corona pandemic and made an emotional plea for global unity as cases soar in multiple countries and the world struggles to contain this devastating virus more than 6 months after it was first identified. My friends, make no mistake, the greatest threat we face now is not the virus itself, Tedros Adhanom I'll give the link where people can check it out, said in a passionate speech in Geneva on Thursday. Rather, it's the lack of leadership and solidarity at the global and national levels. His intervention will be seen as a thinly veiled swipe at leaders, including U.S. President Donald Trump, who has waged a public battle against the World Health Organization while failing to suppress the world's worst COVID-19 outbreak in his own country. This is a tragedy that has focused us to miss many of our friends, that are forcing us to miss many of our friends and losing many lives. We cannot defeat this pandemic as a divided world, Tedros says, his voice trembling as he spoke. The U.S. is regularly reporting single-day records, rising cases, and topped 3 million confirmed infections earlier this week, throwing its early attempt to reopen its economy into chaos. The situation is almost as bleak in other countries. Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, has contracted COVID-19 after playing down its severity for months. Australia, hailed as an early success story in the fight against the pandemic, has been forced to seal off more than 6 million people in the state of Victoria after a renewed surge in the disease in Melbourne. How difficult for humans to unite to fight a common enemy that's killing people indiscriminately, Tedros asked in his plea made during the WHO meeting. Are we unable to distinguish or to identify a common enemy? Can't we understand that the divisions or cracks between us actually are the advantage for the virus? He urged the coming together of global powers, telling attendees COVID-19 is a test of global solidarity and global leadership. The withdrawal, which goes into effect early July, has drawn criticism from bipartisan lawmakers, medical association, advocacy organizations, and allies abroad. Tedros himself has drawn the ire of U.S. President, who has accused the organization of being too China-centric and failing to contain the pandemic in its early days. But the leaders of virtually every major nation has stood by the agency during this crisis. So we see here, Richard, that the United States is almost being ostracized by other people for their stance in dealing with this virus. And more importantly, because it's a mindset, I don't want to say the United States, because it's other people here. For example, it's black folks that has a parental type of observation with some of these white folks. And when I say a parent-child type of relationship, I don't want to try to demean our people, but I'm just talking about the mindset of some of our people. I'll give an example, Richard. When I was coming along, and you're the same way, our parents provided food, clothing, shelter, money when we needed it, leadership in the direction that we should go until we was grown and made our own decisions.
Right.
Everything was dependent upon them. The difference is they loved us and wanted to see the best for us, being their children. We have this same relationship with Europeans here in the United States and abroad. We depend on them for everything. The difference is they don't love us and never did.
Right.
So seeing the best for you has never been there. So it's a difference when you're talking about, it's a difference when you're talking about the relationship we have with Europeans here in the United States and a child-parent type of relationship that we might have had coming along. But I think the same dynamic is there. We have to start making our own decisions in reference to the things that we're doing and the choices that we're making. This in itself is something that we have to really make some tough decisions on. I've seen, and I don't know whether you've seen it this week, Richard, Oregon, the state of Oregon, put out a statewide mandate about wearing masks.
Mm.
But, right. and it's funny. No, it's funny and it's not funny. There's a people there that's exempt from wearing masks.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Black folks.
Oh.
They said that black folks will be exempt from wearing masks because they have been traditionally racially profiled. So you don't have to wear one. But the other Caucasian, the state is 80% white. So the other Caucasians should be wearing masks. But you don't have to wear one.
Okay. And is that because of being profiled for criminal activities and being misconstrued about maybe being a criminal by the police? Or is that being profiled that, as it came out when the corona first started, that black people wasn't as susceptible to the virus?
No. They're talking about being racially profiled as far as criminal activity
They're not
talking about anything dealing with the virus. Although if you walk around with no mask, you're going to catch the virus, and especially around these other folks. But I'm just, the insanity of some of the behavior of some of these people now is showing that any type of wisdom that you might have thought Europeans had, it's really leaving them rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the hell? The listeners can pull it up. They're just like Pennsylvania has issued a statewide mask mandate where you're supposed to wear it in public places and walking around and when you go in stores. Well, Oregon issued the same thing, but the only difference is you don't have to wear one.
Right.
If you're black in Oregon, you're exempt from wearing a mask. It's your choice.
Mm. You know, I mean, and I don't want to jump to, you know, the what you bring up makes me jump to something else, but I'm trying to hold on, and that being the discussion that we're having about, you know, students going back to school, but within this white population throughout the country, I mean, you can see it in social media as far as there is this group that is having a challenge around whether that they feel their rights stomped on by being demanded to wear a mask. I mean, and the kind of things that they're going through to be in defiance of these laws that the state is putting out. And as you mentioned about those states, I think Florida is one of those states, Nevada is one of those states where they lifted the order, and those are the states where the virus increasing.
Yeah, Texas, several states, it's off the charts, yeah.
Yeah, and that was because they were thinking, and this, to these other part about which Trump is doing to the whole thing of the economy. You know? So for us, it's definitely, we have some serious questions we have to address, especially, and I like the way you placed that, because we're under in a control environment that really don't look out for our best interests.
No.
As if our parents, we were under a controlled environment and under our parents, and they were looking out for our best interests.
Yeah, that's the reality of it. We're going to have to start. And that's where a lot of black folks thought that if they voted for leadership, and especially certain black leadership, that they would look out for their interests. But it hasn't panned out locally, statewide, or nationally. It hasn't panned out. These people are not looking out for your best interests. They're looking out for America's best interests.
Exactly.
And that don't mean your best interests.
Right.
Even though they tell you different. You know, let me go back before I move to another subject, kicking stuff out there. This World Health Organization, the leader made a compassionate speech almost breaking down, saying that we got to work together on this.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Europeans that's racing to try to come up with a virus, vaccine,
mm-hmm.
because in their forefront, it's not about saving lives. It's about being able to make money, billions or trillions of dollars. I mean, what the hell is the matter with these people?
Shortening the protocol, the protocol time for the vaccine to be brought to, you know, to be validated, even by their own standard.
This is insane. And we're caught up. And I'm saying our people as a whole caught up, you know, between a rock and a hard place. We can't let these people keep making decisions for our children or for us. It's not in our best interest. If we don't have leadership that's going to direct our people or steer our people towards a salvation for our people, then we have to develop new leadership. It's clear. We have to. I'm looking at, to kind of coincide with this plea by the World Health Organization. You see, again, Cuba. Let me read this, Richard, because I think it goes along with this article. And this came out by the Reuters. Cuba bets on their biotech industry in the race to treat coronavirus. Laboring under six decades of U.S. embargo in the biotech sector. Give me 1 second. All right. Cuba is especially touting an interferon it produces, a decades-old antiviral agent that boosts the immune system. The island nation said it's been successful in treating the novel coronavirus at home and in China, and 80 countries have already expressed interest in buying interferon alpha B. The government is hoping that its interferon and other treatments it is developing will provide a lift to the struggling country. We have a good product. We have good products like interferon alpha B that we are exporting, and that opens possibilities, says Rigo Malceria. The trade minister said during a recent televised roundtable. Interferons have long been used internationally to treat dung fever, cancer, and hepatitis B and C. Studies during the SARS epidemic in 2003 suggested interferons might be useful against coronaviruses. Havana has promoted that China, where the pandemic emerged last year, included interferon in its treatment guidelines for COVID-19. The disease caused by the virus, one of the interferons it is used to produce by a joint Cuban-Chinese venture, Cuban authority says. The critics have accused Cuba of advocating a treatment that is unproven for COVID-19, as well as originally obscuring the fact that other countries also produce interferon alpha B. Interferons can cause serious side effects when administered in their usual forms, injections or infusions, some of which may mirror COVID-19 symptoms such as fever and breathing difficulties. Cuba, however, says that it has treated nearly all of its patients with interferon injections and credits the medicine for helping it achieve a lower mortality rate among its 1,804 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 4.1% versus an average of 5.9% for the rest of the Americas. It has also flagged a trial in Chinese hospitals, Hubei province, at the height of its outbreak that suggests newer ways of administering interferon may help contain the virus and prevent the contagion with fewer side effects. None of the nearly 3,000 healthcare workers who has used interferon nose drops became infected with the novel coronavirus, according to informal studies reports produced and seen by Reuters. They've included more than 500 with high exposure infected patients, the Chinese researcher says. The trial used alpha interferon B, the Cuban version, and the results are being published now in reliable medical journals. So it's showing here, Richard, that this treatment is being successful and being used by other countries. But the refusal of the United States to even look at this, to work with other countries, to invite Cuban doctors here, the pride in the refusal to work with others is going to cause a lot of people to die, and it's causing a lot of people to die. And we're going to be in those crosshairs.
I mean, and that's the, you know, it generates a couple of thoughts because, you know, the thing is that obviously the United States, you know, and with the symbol of Trump being the president, but I take it through this whole national state structure has with the underbelly, the puppet master of the pharmaceutical companies and its allies of large institutional educational experimental, you know, like, because we can't look out that the universities are involved in this, right? That, you know, it's not just the business community, it's the universities too, but the government has in total, this all these parts has said there is a willingness to accept a certain amount of collateral damage, death among its citizenry in order to promote the development of a vaccine that is uniquely an American product to be able to export in the world, right? And it don't want to work even cooperatively because I think it was this week, right? Trump has said it before, but they definitely said that they were pulling out from the World Health Organization.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. So that means that, and a lot of the countries are saying, you know, and now they're putting it because on one hand, you know, what they didn't do in providing information, the U.S. is saying that, but the other countries are saying that in order to deal with pandemics like this now or in the future, all the countries should be involved and cross-fertilizing the information, as you're saying about Cuba in relationship with what they're coming, because the solution or the remedy may come from anywhere. But if you're not engaged in it, and the United States is saying, well, we put out the most money for the World Health, so, and they're not adhering to us, therefore, and doing our bidding, when they're saying, all we're doing is collecting the information and saying who's doing what. We ain't telling anybody to do anything. Right? Man. But, I mean, so to this point of, obviously, in the American empire, it has decided that at least amongst its people, and we know that this ain't just in this situation, it's no thing that they'll say, well, there is a certain amount of casualties that we are willing to accept. But the thing that comes close to home to us is because of the structural racism that everybody's talking about, and the, what they call it, health morbidities that Black people have because of our situation, structural situation within this country, we're dying at a higher rate. Even if we're not even going out.
I know it.
Because we already have the health conditions
because of the structural racism of wealth inequality, of health inequality, of food desert, you know, of not having the food necessary to provide for it. So we're, you know, so therefore what they're saying to us, if we're listening and we should be talking about, but wait a minute, y'all saying that it's okay for us to die in large numbers, which goes back to your point. Is that anything new in relationship to America as is relationship to African Americans? Is that anything that we should be shocked about? But is that something that we should be coming up with some problem solution in relationship to?
Yeah, see, that these are the things we need to look at. I don't want to look at all this other stuff, this smoke and mirrors. White folks running around hollering George Floyd and Black Lives Matter all of a sudden. Come on. I don't want to play these games anymore. And Black folks shouldn't fall for the okie doke and fall for these games. We got to make tough decisions. And it's a lot of times it's going to be our decisions, not them. Our decisions. We have to come up with decisions that's going to guide the principles of our lives moving forward. And at least leave some type of blueprint for our children. We have to. It's a must. We can't depend on the Democrats or Republicans or liberals or anybody else. We got to make these decisions. It's up to us.
And it is not a spectator sport.
And again, we're going to, I'm going to, mention some of the things. Richard, the museum put out a statement in reference to Deshaun Jackson's remarks. I'm going to share it with our listening audience because it really leaves me scratching my head. But when we talk about this, after the 8 o'clock hour, I want to bring some of these things up and let the listening audience hear what's been going on. And we talk about it from a Black perspective. Before we get to that, it was an interesting article in the Philadelphia Sun, Richard, about Black businesses. And let me read this. Because, you know, we were talking about some type of health policy, and we look to leadership, or the leadership that most Black folks go to the polls and vote for, to guide them and to come up with solutions and blueprints for our people. And we get no results. Well, here's another avenue. You're talking about business, which is there is a dearth of in this country, Black businesses, as compared to the percentage of our population. Let me read this to the listening audience. The ranks of African-American businesses falls. The ranks of African-American businesses and business owners falls by 41%, greater than any other group. That's the header of the article. The number of African-American business owners working has fallen by 41% as COVID-19 social distancing restrictions and shifts in market demand take a toll on the economy, the New Economist analysis suggests. The impact on African-American businesses has been greater than for any other group, according to Robert Farrell, an economist professor at the University of California at Santa Cruz, who called the new findings alarming. Frolic's Working Papers provides the first analysis of the pandemic's impact on small businesses in America, using national representation and representative data over the crucial two-month window from February to April 2020. The number of active businesses in the United States plummeted by 3.3 million, or 22%, he found. The drop in business owners was the largest on record, and losses were felt across nearly all industries, even for the incorporated businesses. The industry distribution of Black business owners, which determined whether they were categorized essential or non-essential businesses, placed them at a higher risk of losses due to COVID-19, he found. The percentage change in Black business owners became considerably smaller when the simulations were run using the national industry distribution. The change is a loss of 41% rather than the loss of 35%. The loss of 440,000 black business owners represents 41% of the previous level, their previous levels. These findings are early stage losses for small businesses and have important policy implications and many longer term ramifications for job losses and economic inequality. So you hear that, Richard?
Mm-hmm.
41%. Now, they're doing studies already. 41% of black businesses across this country is failing or going to fail or have failed based on these findings. And a lot of it was because they didn't get any of those business stimulus money that was allocated to help businesses stay afloat.
Right.
And I'm looking at an article that came out here on July 7th and another one here on July 8th. And this is just touching the tip of the iceberg. See, and this is what I'm talking about, Richard. When we got our people sitting in the CBC, and I say our people because they look like us, and making decisions when the government, see, it wasn't just Trump that said we're going to give businesses $350 billion and then another $450 billion a month later. It wasn't just Trump. It was a bipartisan agreement by both parties, Democrat and Republican. And you had our people sitting on the Democratic side making decisions and supposedly earmarking money for black businesses because they're black. But evidently, they wasn't earmarking money for anything, maybe themselves. Check this out, Richard. The billions, this is from a published report. Billionaires and country clubs that receive small business loans from the government. Country clubs, millionaires, private jet companies, and Kanye West all receive millions in government funding under the stimulus and payroll protection programs, according to the Small Business Administration. The PPP and stimulus grants were a part of a $2 trillion CARES Act, which President Trump signed into law this spring. The loans were designed to help small businesses hurt by the corona pandemic to retain and hire employees. Yet, according to a list of individuals and companies that received grants and loans of more than 150,000 recipients included large companies and billionaires that had access to other sources of capital and have recovered quickly from the pandemic. The Soho House, an exclusive membership club controlled by billionaire Ron Burkle, received a total of $9 million received loans totaling between $9 and $23 million. By applying for 7 loans through New York, Miami, Chicago, and West Hollywood locations. Last month, Soho raised $100 million from private investors, including Burkle, to save the company validation of $2 million, equal to its pre-pandemic valuations. Altogether, they own more than 400 country clubs and resorts. They all receive PPP funding. Billionaire developer Joe Farrell, famed for building and renting mega mansions in the Hamptons, received PPP loans up to $1 million. Farrell made headlines in May when he rented a mega home called the Sandcastle for nearly $2 million for the summer. The Greenbrier Hotel, which operates a famed luxury resort in West Virginia, is owned by billionaire West Virginia Governor Jim Justice, received between $5 and $10 million for Greenbrier Sporting Club, part of the residential development next to the hotel, which also received $2 million. Gore Vitek Holdings, a part of the company controlled by tech billionaire Alex Gores, received between $5 and $10 million in PPP and stimulus money. Rapper Kanye West, Yeezy Fashions brand received between $2 and $5 million. West says his brand is worth $3 billion and recently announced a collaboration with Gap to be worth $100 million or more, depending on the company's performance. Look at all these people, Richard, that reached in there and it wasn't like the money's on the table and they just ran in there and took it. It was money earmarked for these people. Dr. Phil, his production company, got $7 million in government aid, stimulus aid during the pandemic, and his son splurged on a $10 million Beverly Hills mansion, Sixth Page has learned. According to newly released documents, Dr. Phil's production company received up to $7 million in PPP and stimulus money, the massive federal plan designed to help small businesses ride through the coronavirus pandemic. Phil McGraw and his son got a loan valued between $1 and $2 million. His other company, Pesky Productions, got a loan between $2 and $5 million. I ain't gonna keep reading all these people that got all this money, Richard, and 41% of black businesses fail across the country.
And this is not it's interesting. I'm being bold here, you know, because I'm looking at an article that goes to the continuation of how this thing had rolled out and who benefits from it, right? And how we didn't, you know, especially black community, because the whole thing about black businesses is they hire black employees, right, primarily, right? Mm-hmm. So when you lose the business, you're just not losing the business, even if they're, proprietorship, the help or larger, they're losing out. But this, and who getting this, who's able to get, in this article I'm looking at is CTech, to show that how the systemic process is set up to where these politicians and their family and corporates can be able to get this. But we who needed the most, right? The whole thing of the job, the amount, I think I seen the employment, even though the employment unemployment rate raised amongst black people, that underemployment rate is doubled than others. But here in this article, it says Israeli companies can cash in on $10 million check from Trump. The U.S. government is helping employers meet their payroll obligation. Now, this was in March 13th, right? Obligation. And any company with employees there can apply for a business loan with strong chances of becoming a grant. Israeli companies hit by the coronavirus, COVID-19 crisis are eligible for loans and grants, not only from local programs, but also from the U.S. Businesses Aid Program. Any company that has operations in the United States and employs workers that can apply under the $2 trillion CARES Business Association Program that was passed at the end of March, the company does not have to be registered as an American company, but only has to have U.S. subsidiaries that pay salaries to U.S. employees. The most relevant clause for Israeli companies, and especially startups, is the eligibility for loans, some of which may transform into grants under the 7A section of the Small Business Administration plan. Under this section, a company that employs fewer than 500, including foreign and domestic affiliates, can receive a loan of up to 2.5 times the cost of wages paid to his employees, up to a ceiling of $10 million. The loans given at a 1% interest rate and based on government collateral are repayable within 2 years with 6-month grace period before payments are due. To top things off, the loan may turn into a grant if the company proves that the money received was used to pay salaries and prevent cutting salaries. Now, this
this paragraph speaks to what you, with the American companies and individuals and getting, and here a foreign company. And this is a one foreign company that is being reported. Now, how many other companies that have subsidiaries? They're foreign companies, but they have subsidiaries in the United States, and they're able to get this money. Let me find this. In this program, this is what got me, Elliot. In this program, it's all about being first to the prize, says Attorney Oz Habili, a partner and head of the U.S. Taxation Department at the New York office of law firm Pearl, Cohen, Zadig, Lazar, and Barzik. I might be messing up their name. And a former senior official at the Israeli Tax Authority. It is very important to submit applications as soon as possible and to understand that the program is relevant to 99% of Israeli startups. I'll leave it at that. Because, you know, when this thing went and people were, some companies, and I think you even mentioned, but I noticed here, it was they kept saying, if you had a relationship with the bank, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of guaranteed that you would be able to get the funding. If you had a relationship with the bank, or you were in a program with the city or state that you had. Now, this isn't, black businesses don't operate at that level where they can have that kind of relationship with the bank managers or the bank presidents, right? Because if they did, or that they're the persons that provide their taxes, or the person that provides the accountants, the CPAs, it would be those people who would have the relationship for these businesses that would be able to put it in immediately, have the relationships with the bank, and they've submitted and then be able to get it so that they could be able to get the money to survive. If 45, would you say 45? 45% of black businesses?
41.
41?
Mm-hmm.
Is it hard to assume that it's because they weren't able to submit the application? They didn't have that to be able to be the first to get the prize because of the relationship, the type of businesses they have, and the type of relationships they have with the bank or the Small Business Administration, so that they would be able to get the money to be able to hold them over? Is it hard to think that black businesses who are operating are still so fragile to where they couldn't be able, their infrastructure couldn't be able to put them in line? And that ain't even dealing with the institutional racism, right? That's just being and doing business. Is it hard to think that a lot of this is because of that? But then you have foreign companies, countries who have businesses. I mean, they only got a subsidiary. Their parent business is in another country.
In another country, exactly.
And they're able to apply and get. But homegrown businesses that would help homegrown people who are already fragile in this economy, they have difficulty. I mean, you would think, as you say, those politicians or those black bureaucrats, those people, if they were there, they would say, they would be advocating. Well, look, we know we're in a fragile situation. We know a lot of these black businesses don't have a relationship with the banks. So we have to put in or at least provide, ramp up some mechanisms of support so that they could be able to be the first to get the prize. But that's not the case.
Wow. Yeah, well, listen, we're going to talk about this and a lot more in the second part of the program. I told you I want to bring up some of this issue of Deshaun Jackson's comments and discuss mm-hmm. them, and then we'll go to the listening audience and see what they have to say on it. We'll do that. You know what? I'll do that later on in the program. Of course, there's some things coming up, some events coming up, and all that the the time for the time for Awakening audience need to know about. But we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. You can get involved, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. And we're going to go to the break, but I'm going to leave you with this message here from our ancestor.
Oh, I say, you've been misled. You've been had. You've been took.
We'll be right back.
It's time out for you and me to stop running away from the wolf right into the arms of the fox. Looking for some kind of help.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, pause, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard the special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
I must be measured by my soul. The mind is the standard of the man. With this new sense of dignity and this new sense of self-respect, a new Negro came into being with a new determination to suffer, to struggle, to sacrifice, and even to die if necessary in order to be free.
Wicked by circumstance, so we are going to try to save our people. Take control of our communities. Anybody that wants justice, come out of those parties that won't give you justice, and let's have a justice party and set up our own candidates, run them in the cities, take down the weak. Blood suckers of the poor and cast them out and set up people that will fight for justice for us.
Because there's a whole lot of illusions about Africa's relationship with other people in the world. There's a whole lot of illusion about our relationship to the religions in the world. And these belief systems that had its origin in Africa, all of them, and there is no exception, turned on African people. I said there is no exception. And there's one thing you have to get through your mind and keep it. Nothing that ever came from the European mind was meant to do anything but facilitate European domination of the world. And I said, there's no exception. Everything that was brought into this continent, everything, every idea, every so-called religion, was meant to dominate and to control. The Alps had no illusions about it. The Europeans had no illusions about it. You were the ones with the illusions. And yet every element that went into the making of every major religion in the world started in Africa. Why is it that you are so naive? You let people redress something that you invented, sell it back to you, and enslave you through it.
If we are to defeat the European, if we are to master this earth and take back this earth from a European, then we must outthink the European. We must then be creative. That puts the learning emphasis on the how-ness, the how to think as such, and to the use of knowledge as a tool of mastery. It's a very different kind of thing. As a result, you see, the control and the paternalism of Europeans over black people. You see, the other thing that we must recognize, even if the European becomes good and nice and accepts us and so forth, the fact that he would still be in control creates a what we might call a benevolent paternalism, which still to a great degree helps to maintain this passive mode of thinking and this passive mode of knowledge.
Welcome back. The time for an awakening is 8:08 here in the city of Philadelphia on this hot Sunday evening. We're in open conversation here on this Sunday evening on Time for an Awakening. You can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Richard.
Yes.
I want to hold it a second. Let me do this. Hit that red. Hold on one second here. If I can find it, I wanted to play something to kind of and I can't seem to find it right now. Ain't no problem. I want to play a clip before I did that. Maybe while I read this article, I can I can find what I wanted to play. But earlier this week, Richard, the wide receiver here for the Philadelphia Eagles printed a post that started a firestorm here locally and nationally in reference to what he said. In fact, he didn't say anything. They made him apologize. He tweeted out a post. Now, first, the media said that the post was a false quote by Hitler. Later on, they said it was a post attributed to Louis Farrakhan. On this morning program here in Philadelphia, they had the leader of the ADL on the program, and she talked about it was two things that was offensive, was his quote of Hitler and his affinity or social media friendship with Louis Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. So either it was a quote by Hitler or it wasn't a quote by Hitler. Now, I read another account where it was a quote in this book called Jerusalem that was a direct quote from this book called The Nazis of World War II. So here we go on this merry-go-round. But I did notice one thing in all this conversation, that all that they were jumping on was his supposed quote of Hitler and his social media friendship with Minister Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. No conversation around the content of the quote. That wasn't discussed. And I've heard it in print, national media, radio conversations. No content, no conversation around what was stated in the tweet or the Instagram post, just that it was attributed to Hitler. Now, let me read, because Steven Jackson, former NBA player, he's retired now. He has a program on, I think it's ESPN or something. He made a statement in reference to it, and I'll play some of that, but I'm going to read this. And then one of Jackson's teammates, two of his teammates, came to his defense. One of them is a defensive lineman that they signed last year, Malik Jackson. I'm going to read his comments, but first I'm going to read Steven Jackson's comments in reference to the post that DeSean Jackson put out. It says, Steven Jackson defends DeSean Jackson's anti-Semitic posts and blasts the Eagles. Former NBA player Steven Jackson blasted the Philadelphia Eagles for condemning DeSean Jackson's social media posts that contain quotes falsely attributed to Adolf Hitler and in praise for political activists notorious for making anti-Semitic remarks. He's speaking the truth, says Steven Jackson, said in a series he shared on social media. You know he don't hate nobody, but he's speaking truth of facts that he knows and trying to educate others. But y'all don't want us to educate ourselves. If this was talking about, hold on a second. If this was talking about, I lost my place. If this was talking about the black race, y'all ain't said nothing about it. DeSean Jackson, the three-time Pro Bowl receiver, over the weekend shared two of his 1.4 million Instagram followers quotes attributed to Hitler. The quotes, which the fact-checking site Snoops.com said were bogus, read, white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel, and that they will extort America, and that their plan for world domination won't work if Negroes know who they were. Steven Jackson, 42, took aim at the Eagles, who said that the messages DeSean Jackson shared, who the Eagles said the messages DeSean Jackson shared were offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling. Steven Jackson, who also co-hosts the Showtime podcast with Matt Barnes, and DeSean Jackson are not related. You're killing us. Police are killing us, treating us like shit. Racism all the time at an all-time high, but none of you NFL owners spoke up about that. Stephen Jackson said. None of you spoke up about that. Stephen Jackson was friends with George Floyd, who had been outspoken about racial injustice since Floyd's death. Also ripped the Eagles for being the same team that the wide receiver said publicly black people were niggers, and gave him an extension. Now, I want to share some of Malik Jackson's posts in reference to what he said in defense of Deshaun. And Malik Jackson is a defensive end here in the city of Philadelphia. It says, Malik Jackson defends Deshaun Jackson's posts, the Honorable Louis Minister Farrakhan, after anti-Semitic uproar. Eagles defensive lineman Malik Jackson, who called Drew Brees insensitive for his comments on kneeling during the national anthem, defended his teammate Deshaun Jackson and called out called the anti-Semitic preacher Louis Farrakhan honorable. Jackson made the comment on Instagram in his reply to a fan Thursday. He later deleted the comment, but did not do it before the screenshot was sent around social media. Eagles Nation was among the social media accounts who caught the comment before it was deleted. Malik Jackson explains why he's not accepting Drew Brees' apology on anthem kneeling remarks. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan is nothing like this vile scum Hitler. He speaks the truth and believes in protection and of self, and that scares your racist ass. Second, Deshaun Jackson did not quote anyone. He took a picture of a post and to invoke thought and conversation. Earlier that week, Jackson created a firestorm when he highlighted three paragraphs from a book that was attributed to Hitler. He posted the pictures of the highlighted passages on Instagram. The passage reads, Hitler says, because the white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel and keep America's secret, the Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they really are. The white citizens of America will be terrified to know that all of the time they have been mistreating and discriminating and lynching the children of Israel. The Philly Voice noted that the passage appears to be from a book called Jerusalem, which attributed the quote to the Nazis of World War II. So they even say in this thing that this wasn't a false quote from Minister Farrakhan. That's what they put out in a published report earlier in the week, Richard, that right. It was a false quote. Now, before I give you the floor for your comments on it, let me play, if I can find it here, Stephen Jackson and what he said.
Eagles posted regarding Deshaun Jackson comments. He was trying to educate himself, educate people, and he's speaking the truth, right? He's speaking the truth. You know he don't hate nobody, but he's speaking the truth of the facts that he know and try to educate others. But y'all don't want us to educate ourselves. If it's talking about the black race, y'all ain't saying nothing about it. They killing us, police killing us, and treating us like shit, racism at an all-time high. But ain't none of you NFL owners spoke up on that. Ain't none of you teams spoke up on that. But the same team had a receiver that say the word "nit" to say "nigger" publicly, and they gave him an extension.
Just said that Jews are the richest. You know who the Rothschilds are?
That's a specific example, I do. But in terms of
they control all the banks. They own all the banks.
They don't own all the banks. They own.
Now I'll cut it there because then it goes off with other stuff on here. But Richard, let me get back to the comments because I think it was key there when Malik Jackson said that he posted these comments for conversation, to thought-provoking conversation. Because Deshaun Jackson didn't make any comment on it. He just posted it. And if you notice, all of the backlash has been about something attributed to Hitler and his media friendship with Minister Farrakhan. All of that to try to muddy the waters.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, what about what he said? Is there any validity to it? I just played a clip when we took a break of John Henry Clark when he exhorted black people, saying that all of these major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, have their foundation on the continent of Africa. All comes out of the continent of Africa. Is that me or is it getting on?
252.
Say that again?
252.
Oh, I see it. Okay. Yeah. It comes off the continent of Africa. So if that is the case, which it is, then if you're talking about ancient Hebrews, ancient Egyptians, ancient people of the continent, all people, their origin came off the continent and come from black folks. So what is the problem? Evidently, you don't want people to know certain things, that you've been perpetrating a fraud and a lie for a lot of years. If we're supposed to be in this new environment where white folks want to have the so-called difficult conversation now, and it's George Floyd, and we want to, Black Lives Matter, and we want to atone for what we did, then everything should be on the table. They don't get to dictate what you talk about and what you can't talk about, although they seem to want to do that.
And that's where when I initially heard it, you know, I don't follow the sports like that, and, you know, sports individuals, so I didn't really know, but just hearing, and it was after Minister Farrakhan's speech, you know, on July 4th, which everybody was pushing Frederick Douglass, speech, what was that, 1852, you know, they were pushing that. But it touched, for me, the frustration. No, Elliot, and I was discussing that with some of the members that I communicate with, not just frustration, the anger, because what's happening, you know, what continuously happens is that anytime we say something, you know, no matter what it is, we are getting censured, slapped, spanked, hung, whipped for speaking our own special truth. Right? That, I mean, and this thing about and any one community that has the power to be able to regulate, you know, our language. Now, the country, we've seen the country do it with Kaepernick, right? His speech, and they had a whole discussion about, you know, the rights of this freedom of speech. And he didn't even say anything, right? He just did an act. But because a black man doesn't act, that shows what is a black sentimentality. Again, the treatment that the country is doing. Then, up to the president telling these here owners, you need to do something with him because of how he spoke out. And this here with Deshaun, as you said, it's just, you know, he's saying, well, we're the original people. Black people are the original Hebrews.
They don't want to hear that.
Right, but then you have a community that said, not only that we don't want you to hear that, but we don't want you aligning with this person who was saying, and tying that to the point before the break, that we shouldn't even take the vaccine until we can validate that the vaccine is healthy for us, in his speech on July 4th, and that's Minister Farrakhan. And though most people, most black people, there's polling taken that most black people may not even join the nation, but they acknowledge that Minister Farrakhan, this is black people,
up in the 80%. Now, any other time when you get polling numbers into the 80%, you know, that's a positive reflection by a community of their public opinion about something. 80% of the black people said they acknowledge that Minister Farrakhan and what he presents to the black community is truth to them. But some other community has the power to say, if you mention his name, if you show some allegiance, if you say something that is supposed to be inspiring to black people, we are going to make sure that you pay. We'll get you fired. We'll put your image, talking about public lynching, we'll put your image in all the medias before the fact checking that you spoke. All the medias were attributing him to, as I take it, and I don't even listen to the media, they were attributing him to saying something in every relationship to supporting Hitler, which he didn't say. So what infuriates me is that as black men, as black people, we can't say anything but what somebody else say we could say when it's something that when we're talking, we can only say that whispering to each other. We can't say it in the public medium. Now, they're trying to say, well, he's uninformed. You know, he's still developing. He's a young, yeah. You got, you know, American educational system.
But wait a minute, Richard. And I agree with what you just said, because it's been a lot of that going around that he's uninformed and he needs to be educated. Okay. Educated about what? Who Adolf Hitler was? They still don't talk about the comments that was made. What is it that he needs to be educated about when he tweets out that black folks were the original Hebrews?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is something that black folks need to be educated on. One of those scriptures that they claim to believe in says the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. My people don't know and they don't consider. Who is that talking about? That ain't talking about no European Jews. That's evidently referring to a people that don't know who they are. So when he puts that out there, sure, that starts a firestorm with them. You might be getting close to something that we don't want to talk about.
In a moment where young people, a generation who is out there on the streets, are looking for those kind of messages from someone that they... Now, if he say something dumb in the media, they'll put the pictures and whatever and idolize it. But in this moment, when young black people are out there talking about, we need to change the structure of America, and this is the way we're talking about doing it, then he's saying, who has a platform, who is also a star, because you see they ain't firing him, right?
No, they don't want to do that. That's a different conversation. They don't want to do that.
I mean, all that talk going on, that owner is saying, wait a minute now, who is also, if I'm not mistaken, the owner is Jewish.
Yeah, and his general manager is too.
They ain't talking about that, but they're going to, it goes to what you, and not just you, Deshaun Jackson, but you black men and women, what you can say and don't say, especially using our mediums and platforms. Because if we're Google or Facebook, we'll silence you. And you ain't said nothing. You didn't do no hate speech. It's just the way you enunciate how you see the world. We don't want you to say that, especially when that resonates to you and yours. That infuriates me. And to the next level, that you can have institutions that respond to or supposed to be of, because you have to help me, Elliot. I don't think any black politician said anything.
No, they ain't going to say nothing either. No, they're not going to say anything.
To have institutions reinforce, this is what you can say. It just makes it even more infuriating, because it's saying that we have a lockdown, not on just the platforms that you can speak through, but the institutions that you that's supposed to speak for you. That in 2020, looking at the next generation and the generation after, you know, I just can't, it's unacceptable. as an individual, it's just unacceptable. And I'll be glad to hear, you know, that and others of what the Time for Awakening. But that just, I mean, Elliot, I went over, you know, they got that emoji about the smoke coming out of your head. My head popped because it's just constant over and over. What is it we supposed to say? You know, we talk Ebonics. They say you can't talk Ebonics. Anything we do, we can't express ourselves the way we express ourselves, except for if it's degrading ourselves. We can express it all day long, and we can get paid for expressing it.
let me get a couple of these calls in here, but let me see if I can. I'm going to play this if I can get it. Can't seem to get that. We'll do it. I'll figure it out. Let's go to 252 in New Bern, North Carolina. 252, are you there? 252, New Bern.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, brothers, how you guys doing?
How you doing?
Hey, brother, good God Almighty. Whew. That smoke will come out of here. Keep listening to you, brothers.
What's your name, brother?
Hey, this is Brother Jones, man. Brother Reggie Jones in New Bern, North Carolina.
All right, Brother Reggie. How are you, sir?
All right, man. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Hey, I love what you brothers are doing, man. My question is, how do we get to grassroots to really just infiltrate our grassroots section with what you guys are doing? That's what I just want to know, because I'm part of a black fraternal order, and I'm putting together a health program with a historical black college and utilizing my local government. I just want to know, how do I bring all of this together and get to my grassroots? That's what I'd like for you brothers to help me with, and that's all I got to say, except for keep doing what you're doing.
Well, Brother Reggie, before you hang up, you said you represent an organization. Are you still there, Brother Reggie?
I'm with my Black Fraternal Order of Elks.
Mm-hmm. Well, do me a favor, send drop me an email, and let me touch base with you, because I want to find out what you're doing, and maybe we can tie you in with somebody near your area that may be able to help you. Because we're up here in Philadelphia. Love, go ahead.
Would love to, brother. I was exposed to you guys from Dr. Bruce Bridges, and I just love what you're doing. I'm into black communications. I used to do a local talk show here, and I just love what you're doing, man. So keep on doing it, man. I will. I'll make sure I get in touch with you, brother.
Yeah. Just send it to the Time for an Awakening website, And we'll talk. We'll get something together.
Sure will, brother. God bless you guys, man.
Talk to you soon. Thank you for your call. Let's go to 267. 267.
Hey, good evening, Elliot, and good evening, Richard. How are you both?
How are you, sir?
All right. Pretty good, man. Hey, look, man, you were talking about the Sean Jackson, and I'm glad you brought up John Henry Clark, because you got a lot of people around here that quote Dr. Ben, John Henry Clark, and you can tell from their conversation they really didn't read none of their publications, because if they read their publications, they wouldn't be so hard on certain religious groups whose foundation is right there down the Nile. I'm looking right at a book right now by Dr. Yusuf A. Ben Yakin. And let me tell you something. The name of the book is called We the Black Jews. So, you know, all these so-called people that listen to all these Johnny-come-lately scholars, man, they don't know what the hell they're talking about when they trash, you know. There was a certain group of people. I have that book. In the 1700s, Elliot, the book is called Israel on the Appomattox. Have you ever heard of that, Richard?
No.
It's by a guy named Melvin Patrick Eli. It was our ancestors that were called Israel that lived down in southern Virginia in the 1700s. They were free people. They lived as free people. But the whites around them saw that it was a problem because they weren't dependent on them. They did what they had to do. It's an interesting book, and it's accurate history. And sometimes you'll see it's a sign called Israel Hill. Well, that's right down in this southern this part of Virginia. It's also the part of Virginia where the brother Nat Turner was at. So, you know, a lot of these people, they just quote other people that don't know. If they want to hear something about Ben, read his book. You know what I mean? Read his, I just listen to him, and I say, like, I just shake my head. I mean, yeah. So, and then talking about religion, and we talked about this earlier, about this Jewish guy that owns that station called the Word Channel. I think his name is Kevin Ardell. How he called all these black ministers his hoes. Mm. Yeah, and this happened last year. Jewish owner of a black Christian radio station, and he said those ministers were his hoes. And the only one that picked up a stone and threw it back was Bloomer. But T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Kirk Franklin, and a lot of other so-called big-name ministers that's out here misleading our people didn't say a word.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear none of his brethren say a word.
Well, Bloomer took it to Al Sharpton and the National Action Network and wanted to lead a boycott against Kevin Ardell and this Word Channel that our people are being misled about. Because all they do is preach prosperity and steal money right out of our community. So, you know, and like I told you earlier, Elliot, you know, the Jewish dude, Kevin Ardell, or whatever his name is, he was right. They are his whores. Because if you read the book of Revelation, it says Babylon is a whore. So, you know, when they talk about harlots and all that, man, that's what our church has become. They just rob our people blind. Now, let's get to DeSean Jackson. Young brother, 32 years old. Searching for something to look up to. And like you said, man, he didn't say nothing. He just took a picture of a quote and posted it. Where's his freedom at? Then they said we have freedom of speech, except when it comes to a certain group of people. You know, and now you got to throw in the queer nation. So you can't say nothing about them either. You know what I mean? And pretty soon it's going to be pedophiles and people that commit bestiality. You can see how this country right now is trying to live a lie. And I take what I can from the book. I believe a lot of those religious texts, or just like John Henry Clark said, it was stuff that was written by our ancestors. And just because I got a book right here. It's the religion of, it's called the Holy Adu. And I got the other one by Marlana Karenga called the Odu Alpha, Ifa. A lot of the book of Proverbs was taken right out of that, which it was the religion of the Yoruba. So, you know, I mean, we got to be careful and a little bit more. That brother was trying to find himself. And when I see grown-ass men that should be somebody's grandfather bashing a man, host after host after, I got to look, I said, wait a minute, why is he caping for his slave master? You know what I mean? When I hear these Negroes on these radio stations bashing DeSean Jackson, I'm saying, man, that Negro got that, what's that syndrome when you just, it's a certain syndrome.
What, Stockholm syndrome?
Stockholm syndrome. So I'm a bastard brother for even expressing himself. And he did, only thing he did was take a picture of a quote. So, you know, if that's what we can get in trouble for and lose our jobs for, we better watch everything we do. Because he didn't say a word. And the thing about it, the thing that they really didn't bring up, he said, now, I don't know if he quoted this or somebody quoted it, but they said they give billions to that country over there every year, but nothing for the slave, the children of the slave. So, you know, why are they leaving all that out of the discussion? You know, why are they leaving that out of the discussion, man? If they really want to bash his brother, bring up what he really said.
Yeah, bring up what he said. Yeah, don't muddy the waters talking about, oh, he quoted Farrakhan. Oh, he quoted Hitler. Oh, he quoted a false quote from Hitler. It was from Farrakhan. Oh, it was from a book called The Jews. It was from a book called Nazis of World War II. Hey, come on. I don't want to hear all this muddy the waters and just shifting around. If you want to talk about it, talk about what he said.
It's about that next generation being able to showing itself now to be independent of all these other groups. I mean, they're afraid that he has a million followers. That's what the fear is. And the followers, he's 32, is they're 32 and younger who are listening to him because he's a star. And they would be following his games, his stats, and all of that. And they saying, well, if he got a million, how many people is that million influencing, thinking or agreeing with what he puts out? And he ain't talking about no nonsense. He's talking about something that deals with your identity and your historical reference. And that's
which was stolen from us. Okay. Which was stolen from, who stole our identity and put it on themselves? Who put Elizabeth Taylor in that movie, The Ten Commandments? Who steals like that? We don't have to, you don't have to say nothing. I don't want you guys getting in trouble. But who steals like that? They come to steal, kill, and destroy. You worship your father, the devil, the father of lies. I mean, everything is coming together, brothers. You know what I mean? And I got to quote Millie Fuller about the supremacy thing, even though I don't even use that word. Unless they want to call it the lie supremacy, because that's what we're under right now. We're under a big lie. They told me in school, George Washington never lied. He practiced honesty, cut down a cherry tree and told his father. I mean, that's the kind of lies that they teach us in the indoctrination system they call education. I could never tell a lie. I cut down the cherry tree. I mean, was I the only one taught that, or did you hear that before, Richard?
No.
Yeah, I think we all.
You never heard that before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe growing up down there in the Eastern Shore, man, maybe I was just indoctrinated with a bunch of BS. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm not going to keep you brothers long. I just had to talk about that, man, and talk about the misleadership of this church. You know, the man called him his host, and none of them spoke up about it. I don't even know if that channel's still on or not, but I know one thing. When it was on, all they did was just ask for money 24/7. Just like this guy, George Popoff. I want to know what he is. Because, boy, he's selling spring water now for a certain amount of donations. I seen that commercial this morning. I almost fell out my bed. And people was on there talking about how they drank the spring water and they bought a house 5 days later. I said, oh, my God. So, you know, I'm going to let you guys go, man.
You gave me something. And I just wanted to, if y'all don't mind, two paragraphs, not for just – for us and, well, for me and hopefully the listening one. Okay. It's Prince Edwards County, Virginia, Israel Hill on the Appomattox, the way this here write-up goes. Israel Hill on the Appomattox was a community in
Prince Edward County that was made up of free slaves who lived married, were commercial successes, and even sued white members of Prince Edward County and won their lawsuits at least as frequently as they lost. Now, the other paragraph is that what makes this particularly impressive is that all of this occurred within 25 years after the completion of the Revolutionary War, because the slaves had been told white Richard Randolph lived that this was his desire. His community of blacks was allowed to begin to grow their businesses while still considered slaves. All they reaped, they were also allowed to retain, which was a hardship on the widow Randolph, and as she still had their husband's father's a debt to pay off. However, the community developed a commercial following so that once they were fully free, they already had the customer's base well established. These businesses were blacksmithing, dairy, and tobacco farming, carpentry, a general store, all the same businesses found in the white community. This is after 25 years after the Revolutionary War. And what are we talking about now, right?
Wow.
Yeah. All right then, brother. So I know you have other callers. I just had to call in the night event. Leave the Sean alone. Get a life.
Thank you for your call.
Okay, then.
Right.
All right, man.
Let's go to Toronto. 647 Toronto. Toronto, are you there? Toronto, Canada. 647. Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to 404. 404.
Hey, peace and blessings, my brothers. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My man, Deshaun Jackson, went right on the money, man. It is what it is. We are the children of Israel, man. Okay? Once our people realize that, and it's simple, man, all you got to do is do them Ten Commandments and change your diet up, and you see what come to you, man. Okay, once we realize that, because you're right, most of our people are lost. That's why they say the lost children of Israel, they lost. Okay, so my man Deshaun is right on the money, and I back him up 100,000,000%, man. Because that's he's telling the butt naked, raw, unmitigated truth. Simple as that. Y'all think he lied? Try. Just try to think of commandments, man. Change your diet up, put that all down, and see what happens to you, man. It's real talk. Ellie, you know that, man. Okay, and then my man talking about George Washington in the cherry tree, chopped down the cherry tree. No, hell no. He broke the treaty with our folks, man. The Native American, that's our folk, too. He broke the damn treaty. Not no damn cherry tree. See how they flipped the lie on everybody that fans, Ellie? That's how they flipped the lie with that George Washington, man. And it's a beautiful time to be alive, man. It's a beautiful time. Okay, ever since I changed up in 2015, what I told y'all, man, hey, I ain't got no problem with nowhere in America, the hell of America. Don't touch me, man. It is true, man. That's who we are, bro. And I'm hoping our people realize that and come to this here. The whole world waiting on us to get back to our heritage. And another thing they lied about was that Boston Tea Party, man. What they did, they dressed up like us, the indigenous people, and threw that tea in the damn harbor, and then they blame it on the indigenous people. That's our people too, man. And I'm a member of the Blackfoot tribe, man. That's all they do is steal our heritage, man. Try to get our blessing, but if they time up, man, we snatching the seat off their ass. That's what's happening, man. The truth is coming out now. And once we get into the truth, who we are, bro, you ain't got to worry about no reparations, none of that, man. They won't be able to touch you. Whoever harmed Israel, they will be harmed, man. Simple as that. My man was telling the truth, man. And I leave it like that. Let somebody talk, man. I'm a living witness, man. You are too, Elliot. You know who we are. You already know. That's why you prospered, man. And another thing, Richard, you talking about people talk. Okay, that's what we do, man. Our history is most oral history. I was talking to a professor, and he said that's most of our history is oral history. That's why a lot of our folks talk, man, because it's oral history. But it is what it is, man. And another thing, we messed up, too, by talking. When we was, we knew all the secrets of everything in life, and we told them, damn, European, Alexander the Greek, and all them. We shouldn't have told them a damn thing. Okay, so all I do is tell our people what's up. I ain't telling a crack or nothing but to kiss my ass, man. Okay, because all they gonna do is use our whatever we got, use it against us, man. That's all they doing, bro. So we reclaiming our history and our heritage. They can't touch us, man. I love y'all, man. I let somebody talk, man.
Thank you for your contribution.
Take care now.
Yeah.
Let's go to caller. What's your name? Where you calling from? Are you there? Let's put them back on hold. Maybe they stepped away. Let's try Toronto. Let's go back to them again. Toronto, Canada, 647? No, they're not there. Let's go to Washington, D.C., 202. 202?
Yes, thank you for taking my call, my brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What's your name, sister?
Yeah, my name is Fahima, and I'm originally from New York City. And I had the opportunity to not just watch videos of Dr. Ben on YouTube, but in the 90s, I had the pleasure of attending First World Alliance and African Echoes. And I just wanted to preface that comment because, you know, it's unfortunate this generation do not have the pleasure of having sat at the feet of the elders. And I even had a chance to dine with both Clark and Ben, who regularly dined at a place called Pan Pan on Lenox Avenue. But I wanted to share a couple of things. First off, Dr. Ben actually is an Ethiopian. His father was from Ethiopian Jew. His mother was Puerto Rican. He went to the Virgin Islands after he was born. And he grew up there, went to the University of Havana in Cuba, and then his father sent him to Ethiopia to study their history and their culture. So I think it's important for that context. And I also wanted to correct something the other brother had said. Actually, Kirk Franklin did speak out about TBN and the World Network. In fact, he was calling for a boycott when the owner of that World Network did refer to ministers as his hoes. Mm-hmm. So we want to be historically correct. And I respect and love and revere the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In fact, we played him as one of the – only his speech was played at one of the Pacifica networks in the nation's capital. And we were the only network to carry that because, you know, there was some effort to censor Minister Farrakhan. And two last points I want to say. The comments that the brother – had made a copy of and posted the statement, they were actually not, Pittman never said that. He would never say that because he had no love for Black people. In fact, the Jewish people weren't the only ones that Hitler exterminated during that special period in the 20th century. And last thing, I would just say this because I won't take too much time. Malcolm X talked about Zionism. There's a distinction between Zionism and Jewish people, right? And we don't want to conflate the two. If someone is anti-Zionist, that doesn't make them, quote, unquote, anti-Semitic. And if someone's being critical of the Jewish people, that doesn't make them anti-Semitic. And the Jewish people are no more above criticism than anyone else. And I just want to say, the comments that he quoted, you know, first of all, Hitler never said that, you know, and so we just want to be historically correct. We want to come correct with facts. If he had cited something from the secret relationships between Blacks and Jews, which is a well documented with quotations, et cetera, that would have been fine. But to post something that Hitler was supposedly said that Hitler didn't say, it just becomes very complex, and we just need to be correct in our facts. And I guess that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you for your contribution, sister. Here on the in the city here in Philadelphia on Wednesday,
the city of brotherly love.
Well, that's what they say. They had. The head of the ADL was on, it's a woman, I forgot her name.
The Zionist?
Say that again?
She's a Zionist.
Okay, well, whatever. She she stated on there that the quotes were from Farrakhan, from Hitler. Now, to be honest,
those comments were not attributed to Hitler. They were falsely attributed to Hitler. And Hitler would
I know that. I know what they're saying. All I'm saying is what she said as the head of that organization. She said the comments was from Hitler.
He's a liar. Well, he's a liar, and you can't be. You can't go by anything that someone from the ADL would say. The ADL is a Zionist group, and I just would encourage people to read a book, or I think it was a pamphlet that Malcolm put out concerning Zionism. And there's a difference between Zionism and Judaism. In fact, Minister Farrakhan, because he is a violinist, he has had friendships and relationships with Jewish people. And so people really need to stop misquoting him. They need to stop characterizing him as an anti-Semitic. Minister Farrakhan is not an anti-Semitic. He doesn't hate anyone. He loves black people. And I'm just saying that we have to be historically accurate in anything and everything we do. And it's important to know the difference between Judaism and Zionism, because many of these people, you know, I know I don't have a lot of time, but many of these people converted to Judaism in an effort to escape the wars between the Christians and the Muslims. But Judaism is a religion. It is not a race. Sammy Davis Jr. converted to Judaism. Okay, so we just have to be clear what we're articulating and just be historically correct, because we don't want these people to come and trip us up. We want to have all our facts straight.
And that's the point. You're right on all the points that you made, and that's the this is where I think we also have to be understand and be clear of. Whether we project the facts, the truth or not, they are still going to reconstruct in the platforms that they have control over. Because they're the ones that misconstrue, as you're saying, Zionism and Judaism. They're the ones that make that, to conflate the two in order for the propaganda machine that's supported by the Zionist state and by United States. They don't want to do that. So regardless if we're, you know, as individuals, I think the points that you make are correct, but we also have to be clear that regardless if, and the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, that's 2-3 volumes, they're excellent.
Yeah, well documented.
But it doesn't matter that we project the truth when they are going to say anything you say, we're able to be able to mix it. And I'm only emphasizing that we have to be clear at that point also.
Oh, no, I agree 100%. And that it gives even more to the fact that we have to be correct in what, when we put out information, we have to know what we're talking about and be just like, and I'm just using this example. The brother said, he even included Kirk Franklin with those that didn't say anything. And the reality is that Kirk Franklin did say something. So all I'm saying is that we have to be correct. We got to come correct. Yeah, they're going to distort stuff. They're going to misrepresent. But if we're on with the truth, that's all that matters.
You know, before I let you go, sister, I think one thing we have to realize and remember, that whether you're talking about European Jews or Zionists, none of them acknowledge that the faith they believe in came from you or black people. They don't acknowledge that. And they don't. Wait a minute. Hold it, sister. Hold on. Sister. Hey, sister. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You got to let me finish now.
Yes, sir.
They don't acknowledge that these things came from you. They don't want to talk about it. So I don't care whether you're talking about Zionists or just liberal Jew. They got all types of categories. None of them don't want to acknowledge that these things came from black people. They don't want to talk about it.
Well, I don't think we should make generalizations.
No, that's true.
Let me just say this. The scholars that are documented in the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, they were European scholars. They were Jewish scholars. So we can't say.
Well, this was not, listen, this was known long before the secret relationship with blacks and Jews was written.
You just said that none of them want to.
They don't. They don't.
You have a several volume document.
Okay, well, they need to be. If you heard them, they need to be more vocal. Because when that chief rabbi of Israel mentioned last year that black people were monkeys, I didn't hear no firestorm there. I didn't hear him come and apologize to black people. I heard excuses. Oh, this is out of the Talmud. Oh, this is that. And it just died. I didn't hear any apology from Zionists or liberal Jews. Did you?
Well, actually,
No. Did you?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay. Well, I didn't.
And the reality
I didn't.
Is that
and I'm not looking for them to apologize.
It depends. It depends on the circles that you're in.
Okay.
I got another program.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, sister.
But the thing is that there are no absolutes. And I'm just saying that we have to, we as free people, we have a right to say what we want to say, but we have to make sure that we're accurate in doing so.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, sister, and your contribution. Let's go to 602. No, let's go to 336. 336 in Greensboro, South Carolina. 336, are you there? 336, are you there? Let's put them back on hold. Let's go back to, let me see if Toronto might have stepped away, if they're back. Let's go to 647 in Toronto. Are you there? Let's put them on hold. Let's go to 602. 602?
Yes, good evening, Elliot, and good evening, Bella Richard.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing great, brother. You notice, they talk about Hitler, you know, but they never say anything about Benjamin Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Go Google what Benjamin Franklin said about these Jews. See? I urge the listeners, go Google what Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers, said about the Jews. See, they don't mention him. But Richard said something. He said a lot of those football companies are NFL are owned by Jews. Their owners are Jews. See, so you know that's why they're going to shut them players up, because a lot of those NFL companies are owned by Jews. But you see, it is essential for the Jew to keep us here. You see, they keep black people here as a buffer between themselves and the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Because they know if we weren't here, that hatred that they put on us would be put on them. So they keep us here deliberately looking here for our salvation. Now, ain't nobody care about what they today. You see, China and Iran making military pacts and economic. They don't care about what this white man doing, because they see this place is crumbling. Rome is falling. Rome is collapsing. And reference to the coronavirus. Now you hear they're saying, oh, we need to vaccinate the black people and the brown people first. That's what they're saying. That's the rhetoric they're coming with now. When the vaccine comes, we're going to vaccinate you first, because you are the ones that's dying. So we're going to, you know what they're trying to do. You know, using us as the guinea pig, you know. But, you know, I've said this in the past. I said, the white man is a dying tiger, but he's going to try to take as much people with him on his journey to death. We are at that point now. We are at that point now in history. Anyway, good brothers, keep on keeping on. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, brother. Yeah. Let's take a last break of the program, and then we got a couple more callers left. We're going to do that. You can jump on board in the time that we have remaining by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Time for an awakening. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening. With host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Escape the digital plantation. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store are here for you. You are ready to be free of non-African social media. Don't run from danger, run to safety. Abibitumi.com is here for you. You are ready to be free of digital plantations to control your own products. Abibitumi.store is here for you. ABIBITUMI, Black Power, ABIBITUMI. The only word you need to know to join your global Commits You Black family, to join your interconnected Commits You Black communities. Escape the digital plantation now. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store. We are here for you. Escape the digital plantation.
That this problem needs to be solved, and we can't keep relegating it to generation after generation because a few of us got a little money, a few of us got positions, a few of us have wealth, while the masses of our people are going steadily down. No one man can rise above the condition of his people. The brother said responsibility. Is it that we should let them take responsibility to do for us, or should we pool the knowledge that's at the table, the power that's in our community, the wealth that's in our community to change the harsh reality of black life in America? We have to do the job of fulfilling the black agenda. Thank you.
Have a message to the black man, because the black man today is a man who has been made now almost into a laughing stock. Nobody takes the black man serious. We are just used to be somebody's tool. We are the sportsmen, we're the singers and the dancers, and we're also labeled as the pimps and the criminals and the drug dealers and the killers and the vagabonds of society. We're the bogeymen of British society and other Western systems. And we want to dispel that lie and destroy those myths and put the black man back on the map where we belong. Who is the black man? The black man is the original man. If it wasn't for the black man, no other men could be on this planet. We are the fathers of humanity. We gave birth to all of you.
We are the watchmen on the wall. You are too. You watch with a political eye. We watch from a spiritual eye. But we're supposed to be the watchmen for the people that vote for us. The sad thing is the people vote, but they don't give you the money to run your campaigns. So here come big business.
How are you? How are you, Judge? How are you, Alderman? How are you, Congressman? How are you? How are you, Reverend? Well, what can I do for you today, Reverend?
You can't do nothing for me. See, that's what we got to be careful of. We got to be careful of who we bow down to. But see, when you get in your congregation and you talk this Jesus, this powerful Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father with all power in his hand, then you go with your hat in your hand to the governor, to the mayor, to the president, begging for some crumbs. You have sold your God cheap. And you make the white man downtown disrespect all of us.
Time for an Awakening is a proud part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 9:12 here in the city of Philadelphia on this steamy Sunday evening, and we're in open forum talking about a lot of things. Talking about the remarks made by the printed post made by Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson and some of the comments made in reference to his post. Richard.
Yeah.
The, you know, the sister made comments about Zionists and Jews, liberal Jews, I guess, Jewish folk, whatever. They got different categories, Orthodox, whatever. It's a lot of different categories. The pressure exerted, not only when individuals talk, but the pressure exerted on organizations that's supposed to represent the interests of black people is something that cannot anymore be tolerated and shouldn't have been tolerated in the beginning. I read a letter that was put out by the African American Museum here in Philadelphia. And I want to read, and unless you have a copy, do you have a copy? You want me? I'll read it. That's in front of me.
Yeah, no, I don't have a copy in front of me.
I'll read that letter, Richard. And I did a preliminary check, and it's not on the Jewish Museum site.
No.
I don't know whether. Okay, I'll just let me read this letter. This was put out by the African American Museum here in Philadelphia, along with the National Museum of American Jewish History. A joint statement from the National Museum of African of American Jewish History and the African American Museum in Philadelphia, July 8th. The contact people was Ken Mussenberger from Goodman Media on behalf of the National Museum of American Jewish History. Hate has no place in our community. As leaders of the National Museum of American Jewish History and the African American Museum in Philadelphia, we are disheartened to learn about the messages posted on social media by Eagles player Deshaun Jackson on Monday. As museums dedicated to Jewish, American, and African American stories, we celebrate our shared interwoven history. It is our responsibility to speak out when false or misused history drives a wedge between our communities or furthers hate and prejudice of any kind. Messages emanating from most of the prominent and influential members of our community whose platforms reach and influence a broad public. We need not be misinformed or come from a misinformed place. This incident reaffirms we must relentlessly combat hate through education. The strongest tool we have is to build bridges and promote understanding. We are grateful that Eagles organization and Deshaun Jackson are committed to dialogue, education, and growth. We are here to serve as a resource to make this truly a teachable moment. We invite Deshaun Jackson and the Philadelphia Eagles to visit the National Museum of Jewish History and the African American Museum in Philadelphia. We will share stories, provide historical facts, artifacts, that explore this complex histories, answer questions, and listen. Only by asking hard questions and listening to one another can we learn to recognize our own assumptions and prejudices and how we can address them. We listen, learn, and understanding with each other, we build a better future together for all. You know, those are nice words. Those are nice words, and that's all they are, is words. You know, this man is 32 years old. All of a sudden, he don't know anything. He's stupid. I done heard all types of comments. He's stupid. He needs to be educated. Take him down to the museum. That one wide receiver that plays for the Patriots, Jewish receiver, Julian Edelman, said that he wants to take Deshaun Jackson to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, sit down and have burgers, and have the uncomfortable conversation. All of a sudden, white folks want to have an uncomfortable conversation with blacks. Are you kidding me? Who in the hell you think you're talking to? What are you talking about? You don't want to have an uncomfortable conversation. I don't care whether you're Zionist, liberal, Anglo, Italian, Irish, you don't want to have no comfortable conversation. You don't want honesty to come out. You never did. All you got to do is speak facts. You don't have to get on here and use disparaging remarks, call people names. I hear black folks say, "You're the cracker, this cracker." You don't have to do all that foolishness. Just stick with facts. Because they don't get on there and call you names necessarily. They just put out whatever they're going to say and leave it like that. If these people are so sincere about getting it straight, then they got plenty of opportunities to address their own people.
As I say, my challenge is that the thing of, and I can't, the word censoring comes, but it's not censoring. It's something more in. It's something more insidious.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah.
And that it doesn't just rely on the speaking to the individual and what you don't know and what you, the way you should say, and you know, especially black folks. I mean, who don't have access. You talked earlier about business, you know, the amount of businesses that went under. Communication systems are businesses. You know, you have more communication systems, then you will have more people who will be able to communicate in the structural manner that the communication system demand.
whether it's regulated or newly will or soon will be regulated or newly unregulated. But if you can't build those businesses for some reason, then you have to accept the way we understand and interpret the world and what facts we may have in our immediate reaction. But when you utilize the institution to possibly to create some kind of alliance to say, see, you, this is the, these are the way you're supposed to do it, or we are in alignment with those who are the correct way, then for the rest of us, what are we supposed to do? Because we're not that institution, and that institution should be outreaching to us to assist us in the clarifying, as the sister said, to make sure that we have the correct cultural history, cultural facts, and other things to be able to delineate in this communication system. But when you use it and use that to be able to say, well, you didn't say this correctly when you didn't say anything incorrectly, that, or you shouldn't be aligned with this person, I have a problem with that, because you're using what's supposed to be internally Black power institutions that's supposed to be utilized for the development of African people. You're using that as a mechanism to suppress African people. And once again, to slap, whip, and direct Africa. I have a problem with that. And that's any of the political institutions, the business institutions, the professional institutions. If you're going to utilize them to direct how we express our honest points of view of the world to each other, then you're doing more than just trying to educate us. You're trying to censor us. I just see that that's something that we need to be considering, be watchful of, because these are institutions that we support, that we feel, that we give a acknowledgement of trust to look out in our best historical, cultural, artistic interests. You see, that bothers me.
Yeah, well, listen, before I go to the next call, we got to look at our historical experience here in this country. Not only with just regular Anglo-Saxons or Caucasians, but the ones that call themselves Jewish. Because it's always been a narrative put out there that they've been the friend of Black folks. If you look back, I was just reading last week about Hubert Harrison, Richard, and you know who he was, and how he had a problem with what Joel Spitgard was doing in relation to that NAACP. Mm-hmm. And how he basically tried to direct Black thought and what some of the top minds at that time of Black people would say and do. Mm-hmm. Now, W.B. Du Bois was one of the that started that organization with those folks. He did. Mm-hmm. But when he wrote the book, The Dusk of Dawn, and I think it was the early 30s, you see what he said in reference to not only Spingard, but those organizations. You see what he said out of his own mouth. So, some of our people that don't know about our experience and going to listen to other people's narratives, they can do that. Some people might have friends today. I ain't talking about all that, somebody's personal friend. That ain't got nothing to do with our experience here as a people. Because somebody might, as a personal friend, they don't want to hurt their feelings. Their wife, somebody they're sleeping with, the girlfriend, they don't want to hurt their feelings. That's you. That's your personal axe to grind, or your personal something to bear, burden to bear. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about our historical experience here in this country. And we ain't had no friends, period. We've been used, just like that brother said in that collage, we've been used as somebody's tool. That's the reality of the situation. Now, if any of these people want to come up and say that they were, that black people haven't been used, and show instances where they haven't, when I could show plenty of historical evidence that black people have been used, period, by whites in this country. And I'm not even, I ain't even talking about no religious persuasion by whites in this country. Let's go to a couple more, Richard. We got some time.
Yeah.
Let's go to 404. We're going back to Atlanta. 404 again. 404.
Hey, greetings, Elliot and Richard. Are you hearing me clearly?
Yes.
Greetings to you and greetings to your audience. It's indeed a pleasure to be able to call in and speak with you all once again. And I have to, you have a couple callers that calls in here, and I always like to be what I would call Negro apologist for their so-called liberal white friends or whatever. And it comes a point in time in our existence where we have got to stop looking for these exceptions. You know, these exceptions are anomalies. There might be, you know, I don't know why it is that we as a people, we always have to try and look for this one white person who might have done something nice to us, and we want to stand it up as a role to make it an example. We don't have that many white people out here. It's the same analysis we can say. People always like to say, well, you know, there's only a few bad cops. No, they're not a few bad ones. The majority of them are bad, and there might be a few good ones in between. Because if there was only a few bad ones, the good ones would have already would have eliminated the problem. So it goes to show that there are a minuscule amount that don't even amount to a hill of beans. As Dr. Answorth said, they're not even worth two dead flies. So why are we all, and this situation here with this Eagles football player, yes, he might have said a quote and he might have attributed to the wrong individual. But in essence, what he has said, it has amounted to being the truth when it comes to these Jews, which is once again, which is why I don't like listening to these so-called celebrities and these athletes, because whenever they put something out here and their financial backers get a hold of them and grab them and pull them in a corner, that's when you see these Negroes just start doing this backpedaling. They start to moonwalk backwards and take back everything that they say. That's why we have got the Lord to stop, eliminate them out of our discussion. Because they are the ones that are the detriment of us. We always like to single them out and put them out there as being spokespersons. And every time they say something, they can never stand on what they have to say, because we know where their money situation is tied up at. And the minute that they get put into a crunch, because we know who manages their finances, their accountants, and who, as well as their agents and whoever, they don't look like me and you. So they have to come back in, they have to backpedal, they have to clean this situation up in order to make sure to keep their cash flow going. Now, what you have mentioned here with Dr. Dubois, as well as a lot of these so-called blacks, and you know, we all have to come back with this with the relationship between blacks and Jews. We have got no relationship by white people, period, regardless of what ethnicity they fall under, whether it be Irish, it be Italian, it be these so-called Ashkenazim Jews or whatever just they want to call themselves. You know, if they're white, they classify as white. We have got no relationships with them. Now we have the Hispanics and the Asians and all everybody else who have always used black people as they come up in order to move themselves into the white category. The East Indians as well as the Indians. They've always used us as their whipping post. And this situation here that he has mentioned, it's a well-known fact. Because throughout our history, everybody always like to rush in and say, okay, they want to, they're with black people, they're here for down for our cause, but in the meantime, they have their own agenda that they are pushing, and they're using us as their stepping stone. Now, Negroes, they want to go to this so-called Jewish museum and want to put together a combined statement. I don't see the Jews coming over, as you mentioned. I don't see whenever something their rabbis or their people in Israel say something negative and detrimental to blacks here, as we would like to term ourselves as the Edo, the African descendants of slavery in these Americas. We don't hear them coming out and saying anything, as well as the Ethiopian Jews and the other African Jews over there that comes over there and they disparage them. Nobody comes out there and make a statement and saying, okay, this is racist what they are doing.
Mm. Power.
But we always like to come out there. We always like to get these Negro apologists, like to pop out the woodwork like ants and come up here and make these doggone excuses for them, come saying, well, they ain't all bad. To me, I'm not trying to find a few good Jews. As the late Dr. Khaled Muhammad said, you know, they are too few, and we are too many for us to stand around here and be waiting to try to make excuses for whatever they do. Because we have this history with them. We have had our history to show with them. And I could go, because I just came back from Louisiana. We went down there for the fourth. And you could go to places in Louisiana right now that have these so-called Jewish names, where these Jewish mercantiles have came in and set up their rags businesses where they say they want to give to black people, to sell to black people. And they've used us to make their wealth by selling us inferior products in order to make their living. And it's not only in Louisiana. You go to South Carolina, you go to parts of Georgia, where they have always done it. They've always used this excuse, because wherever the so-called Anglophile whites would not come in, they have always come in there, and they have used us, and they have sell us a lot of inferior products and made their wealth. And once they've gotten established by the broader white community at large, then we got kicked up the hind quarters, and then they move on.
Sister Sarah.
So no. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to single out or look for a few good ones. Because as far as I'm concerned, when they look, we as black people, we get judged. The few normally that do something bad, the one person do something bad, it normally castigates the entire group. But with them, we always like to say, whenever they do something, we always like to make an exception. Say, okay, it's not all Jews. It's just this one. Well, we don't hear anybody coming to the defense of black people. They always group us all. We all come as a class action whenever something bad happens. So we need to stop doing it. We need to stop being Negro apologists and stand on our own, like the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan has done. We need to stand on our own and stop listening to these so-called athletes and entertainers and everything else, because we're the only community. If we look around, we are the only community that are led by preachers, athletes, and entertainers. All of the communities, they have lawyers, accountants, business CEOs that are the representatives of their community. We don't have that with us. And it's way past time that we stop listening to these damn idiots and make a move for ourselves. So I'm going to pause it there and, you know, let you all the callers come in. But I'm tired of Negro apologists. You know, we need to really and truly stop doing this nonsense. Always want to come with and defend these people whenever they say and they do these disparaging things. They always want to grab us and come tell us we need to go out here, we need to make a statement, we need to denounce everybody, you know, these black people. No, we've got to stop doing it. We have got to stop coming up, letting them guilt us and make us come in and make these idiotic statements. It's way past time.
Sister, thank you for your contribution.
Oh, you're so welcome, Elliot and Richard.
All right. Bye, man. Take care.
Okay.
Let's go to 215.
Good evening, Brother Elliot. Good evening, Brother Richard. How y'all doing?
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing fine. I'll pray, because Sister Sarah was right on. Once again, Sister Sarah was right on point. I love you, Sister Sarah. She was right on point. Spot on. Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, and to the Time for the Awakening list audience, before I talk about Deshaun Jackson and everything, let me say this briefly about Cuba. Ellie, you was mentioning that when you and Richard first came on about the drug that Cuba, how you pronounce this called? What now?
Interferon Alpha B.
Okay, yeah, interferon. I'm glad you mentioned it, Ellie, because I was watching, listening to National Public Radio last night, and you made me think about this diabolical white man who we live under the United States. You ever heard that old saying, Elliot and Richard, karma? Karmas can be a bitch when you put karma out there and you for wicked things to come back on you. They was talking about this European, this demon who worked for the CIA back in the 60s. He was trying to, they tried to kill Brother Fidel Castro on many occasions, from exploding cigars to mafia assassination attempts, you poisoning, you name it. They tried to kill Castro. One of the ways they tried to kill him, this CIA devil went over there, and him and his crew was dropping some kind of poison from the air. This is documented. As a matter of fact, you can get this from the Freedom of Information Act. All this stuff is there for the public. It's not like it's in hiding, because these Europeans don't hide their dirt that they do. Well, anyway, they was dropping this poison on the sugarcane fields in Cuba, trying to mess up their crop. and it was ultimately we're going to use it to kill Brother Fidel Castro. But what happened was that the demon that was doing this, Elliot Richard, he wound up being infected with it himself, and he didn't realize, and he went home, and he infected his 7-8-year-old son, and his son almost died from it. You see what I'm saying? So the stuff he was trying to use to kill the Cuban people and Castro, he almost killed his son with it. You know what I'm saying? That's when you do dirt like that, it come back on you. You see what I'm saying? That's what I threw it as an aside, okay, Elliot? Mm-hmm. Just for the audience to know how wicked these demons is, and when they do stuff, sometimes it come right back on them. Well, anyway, on Deshaun Jackson, you know, I want to ask you, Ellen Richard, y'all familiar with Time Magazine, right?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm being facetious in asking this question. Do you and Richard publish Time Magazine? Is it published by white people?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm being facetious now. It's published by white, and I'm sure in those white, some of them are European Jews that might have some kind of connection with Time Magazine. Well, guess who Time Magazine's Man of the Year was 3 times? Take a guess. If you and Richard could guess who their Man of the Year was 3 times, they're Man of the Year now. I would take y'all out to dinner. The rest of them in West Philly, adios and stuff. I'd take y'all out to dinner there. Guess who their Man of the Year was 3 times? Take a guess.
Donald Trump.
I don't think I'd get a dinner.
Donald Trump.
Who you think it was, Richard?
No, I don't know. Who
you think it was, Elliot?
Who, Donald Trump?
Nope.
Who?
Somebody just as bad, Adolf Hitler. He was the Man of the Year 3 times.
Okay.
But yet, now see, I'm saying all this to say this. See, white people got, like my sister Sarah was saying just now, so they got this paternalistic attitude that we their children, that they can say, quote, Hitler, or whether it's a good quote or bad, whether indifference. But when black people, even when you talk from a historical standpoint, you're not allowed to quote Adolf Hitler. But yet, they can make this man of the year 3 times, this murderer, this vile human being, if you will, that murdered untold so-called white Jews and gypsies and people that he felt as though was in disabled people, whatever, they can quote him and make movies about. Like I said, last time I looked, black folks wasn't the creators of Hogan's Heroes, the long-running comedy that still comes from the syndication that glorified Adolf Hitler, you know what I mean? But yet you're going to jump all over the Sean Jackson. I mean, these people, man, they are so wicked and demonic and stuff, the stuff they do. But like I said, they can make this man of the year 3 times and stuff, and yet you're going to talk about the Sean Jackson because he allegedly, you know, used Adolf Hitler quote or whatever, by the way, Hitler didn't necessarily say, but that's beside the point. The point is that y'all quote Hitler, y'all use Hitler, and you watch the History Channel. They're always doing things about Adolf Hitler on there, and I see some of them names up on the credits, Elliot and Richard, and who would I see? Jewish names. So I'm saying to myself, Hitler's y'all boogeyman. He's this bad monster, but why y'all keep on making documentaries about him? I don't see black people making no movies and documentaries about Hitler, because Hitler's not our boy. He's a European. He's y'all boy. So why is y'all, if he's so as bad as y'all say he is and stuff, and we know he ain't had no love for black people, we don't got about way to talk about Hitler. Don't even make movies about him, write books about him. Every time I look around, white folks, Jews, they're always writing books and stuff about Adolf Hitler. So y'all must have some kind of affinity towards Adolf Hitler. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, and I'll say these last couple of things so that other callers can get on now, and I close with this. You know, see, what happened to the Sean now here happened 50-something years, almost 60 years later, it's no different than what happened back in 1963 going into 64. It was a young, brash fighter by the name of Cassius Clay, who, of course, you know, became Muhammad Ali. See, just like with Deshaun, he first came to the Eagles, and I've shared this with you. They took him to Fort Dix when he was telling a military basis, and he was saying thanks to the white soldiers over there. He was signing footballs and things like that. He was the so-called good little nigga. Deshaun was a breath of fresh air. You know, they were saying he's a nice kid and everything like this. This was just the young Deshaun Jackson, his first go around with the Eagles, his second or third year with the Eagles, and he was saying thank you for your service. And even his local sports radio station was saying what a good guy Deshaun is. He's patriotic. He respects the military, all this kind of stuff. But now that DeSean Jackson has got older and more wise, and now he goes from getting this good kid now to this ungrateful, arrogant nigga because he dares to show a sense of consciousness. And I say all that, Elliot and Richard, to say again, it's no difference back in 63 in a young brash fighter than Cassius Clay, who was rhyming, you know, bad things, being a loud mouth. But white folks took a liking to him at that particular time, or so he thought. You know, the sports writers, Jimmy Breslin and Red Smith, like, it was a breath of fresh air to boxing. You know what I mean? He was handsome, articulate, making rhymes and stuff like that. But then all of a sudden, Ellen Richard, guess what? They saw this young boxer being seen with Malcolm X. He was seen walking around with Mike. He was seen going into a next to this time mosque and stuff like that. So as his career started to progress, he was getting close to the first fight with Sonny Liston. What did they do? The racist white Jew promoter down there in Miami, McDonald, whatever that biggest name was, he was threatening to cut the cancel the fight if the young Cassius Clay, soon to be Ali, Muhammad Ali didn't come out and denounce Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, and Nation of Islam. He put that foot out there. But see, the difference between DeSean Jackson and Ali, see, Ali had an apparatus back then that he could go to. See, DeSean Jackson don't have that at the moment. See, that's why he had beat this young brother down so bad. And that's why it made me feel good, Elliot, when you mentioned how at least Malik Jackson, Steven Jackson, and Marquis Grissom gave him some sort of support, because that's probably all what he had right now. Because, see, he had an apparatus that a young Cassius Clay had back then. The arms around him when the onslaught of white people came after him, the white racist system came after him. This is what DeSean did not have. And this is what Ali had back then. But, see, my point is that it just shows how people, when you step out of your role as the good little nigga, humble nigga, you know, that they like, and you start showing cockiness, you become an ungrateful nigga. So Ali went from being this lovable kid to being a racist nigga who hate white folks, hate Jews, whatever like that. Same with DeSean. He go from being this patriotic guy who respects the military to an ungrateful little nigga because he dares say that black people are the chosen people of Israel. I mean, we got to understand how the mindset of this man think. As you always say, Ali, this is how this man think, and we have to understand his mindset so we can always stay a step ahead of him, because these people, they don't mean it's no good. Like Sister Sarah said, she's so asked me right what she said. I get so tired of how people always got to go grab some one good white person or whatever, one good white man or woman who did something for them personally, and they want to hold them up like they're some kind of example for the good of the white race. And you can go back to slavery days when our people were in chattel slavery, Ellen Richard. You could always find a good white man or woman probably did some good things. I don't doubt that for one minute. But what the hell they got to do when the masses of them doing it, killing our people, murdering our people, oppressing our people, doing all kinds of stuff. So one white man or one white woman stand up and do something right, that's all well and good. But what the hell they got to do with the picture? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Ellen Richard?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, so we got to stop this foolishness and stuff, man. We get so caught, and lastly, so the last call or two could get on there. Like, you saw that even on terrestrial radio in the city, because you had Negroes calling in, beating up on DeSean, defending white Jews. I'm saying myself, but like Sarah said, on those white stations, they call out people every name in the book. They say, they make derogatory comments. I never heard no white people call up and say, y'all shouldn't, they never correct the white host who's racist or the caller. They never call up and say, y'all shouldn't say that about black people. That's not fair. You know, y'all shouldn't say them kind of things. But we all, even on black radio, we got Negroes. All you want to call up and defend white racist interests, whether it be white Zionists, Jews, or white people, pair, whether it be Italians, Polish, any little racist stuff they do to our people, we always want to, you always a Negro, male or female, got to call up and get an apology for them. But white folks don't do that to us on their stations, but we always want to do that on our station. I just get so sick of that Uncle Tom Coon slave mentality. Like Dr. Collins said, you're a slave. I get sick of it, man. But anyway, I'll admit that. Thanks for letting me vet tonight and express myself. And I thank you, for your time. Good show as usual tonight, Ellen Richard. Thanks, my brothers.
Well, listen, when you leave, I'm gonna play this little clip. It's only 41 seconds, and it'll kind of address what you stated about these people not saying anything but want to dictate what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to check this out once we.
Thanks, Ellen. I appreciate it. And Ellen, as you let me go, Ellen, keep me on mute, okay, my brother?
I hear you.
Thanks, Ellen. Mm-hmm.
Richard, let me play this while I go to our next call.
You stated two Sundays ago that the Caucasian mind has to be destroyed. How will we be able to do this?
Learn the truth and hurl the truth at his mind. See, everything that white folks think and want to do, at the root of their mind is a superiority over you. I mean, white folk just got to be the boss. And it blows their mind when a black man don't want to accept that.
You think that's a true statement, Richard? He's anti-Semitic. Oh, yeah. That's false. I don't want to believe anything like that. That's not true. Huh? Am I alone, Richard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, come on here. Wow. Let's go to 646. 646?
Hey, what's going on, Brother Richard and Elliot, man? It was good to hear Sister Sarah. But right quick, in regards to this Jackson thing, the bottom line is this. If you're going to expose yourself to a situation when you're dealing with a Jew, be prepared to defend your position when dealing with a Jew. Because if not, they're going to do what they did to him. They're going to find him. They're going to suspend him. They're going to do whatever necessary to keep him in his place. And the only way they'll be able not to do that to you is if you could defend yourself. You have to be able to defend yourself with information and knowledge. Unfortunately, a lot of these cats ain't well-read. A lot of these cats don't really know what they're talking about, and they're not exposed. So whereby that leaves them to being treated in the manner in which he was treated, which is unfair, but that's just the reality. Now, I had to laugh when the sister called up talking about Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and Pam Pam Restaurant. The only good thing about Pam Pam's restaurant was the biscuits. Other than that, the restaurant was all right. But I tell you this, if you ever wanted to see Dr. Ben hold court, that's right where he was on 135th Street and Malcolm X Boulevard holding court. A many a days, you could sit at the little round booth with him and listen to him drop jewels and lessons on life, culture, history, and everything. So that was a beautiful time, I must say. That was a beautiful time. Now, the reality is this. This whole pandemic situation in regards to the schools boils down to, are you going to send your kids back to school and expose them, Big Mama and the rest of the members in the house? That's what you have to ask yourself. That's the most important thing you need to ask yourself. Are you willing to expose your family to a situation where these people don't have the proper protocol of safety set up? That's just the deal. Now, that's something that we don't want to deal with and we don't want to address. But I tell you this, we better, because if we don't, a lot of people are going to get sick because it doesn't seem like this virus is going away.
I agree with you. You know, we hear the voices coming from the powers that be currently, this Republican administration talking about they want the children to be back in school in September, but they don't have any guidelines on how to do it. So, you know, we got to.
They don't have no guidelines. They don't have no plan.
No.
They don't have no vision. They don't have nothing in place to be able to make the lives of our kids safe. And if you want to expose your kids to that, then that's your right. But I wouldn't be that type of fool. I wouldn't do it to my family. I wouldn't jeopardize my mother if she lived in the house with me. I wouldn't jeopardize his brothers and sisters or vice versa. It's just not at this time something that should be done. And the wicked tree is, in certain places, they cutting the homeschooling programs and everything. It seems like we don't want to say this, and we don't want to admit to it, but it seems like they trying to kill off a bunch of people.
It ain't no seem like, you know, and all the things you say is true. It's just, you know, I mean, because at the point that you make that I'm like, it struck me in the sense of our problem resolution, because in a lot of cases, do those parents, especially those parents, we just talked about the businesses that we don't have and the unemployment rate that we are at. Do a lot of those parents have any other choice at this moment right now? And when in our discussions, are we putting out there any other options? And as you just brought up about the homeschooling funding being taken away or possibly, but is there any other options that we have? Because if we're unorganized people to deal with this here pandemic and deal with it in relationship to the children and what they got planned, then we are watching, as you say, we are watching us be slaughtered, or we're watching a live experiment as it relates to viruses and vaccines. Because they're talking about having this vaccine done early, then the protocol technically would be held for. So who are going to get those vaccines?
Hey, I wouldn't trust no vaccine they come up with.
Exactly.
Exactly. I wouldn't trust no vaccine.
But if you're forced,
I mean, there just should be certain protocol.
But if you're
deal with and address with what's going on.
Well, listen. One of the solutions is incorporating, changing your diet, building your immune system. We got plenty of folks that are from our people that have directed our people on how to do this, how to get it done, how to achieve this, how to make themselves more healthy. We have folks that, whether it's Dr. Baroudi, Marcus Klein, it's a bunch of folks, and some of them we've had on the program, that have started online learning and classes. We're going to have to be innovative, and we're going to have to be creative, just like Dr. Amos Wilson says in that clip I played. In order to defeat this European, we're going to have to be creative.
Well, you have to have a will to do that. You have to have a system in place, and you have to help your people not be totally brainwashed by these people. So, you know, I'm just hoping that we find a way to move forward. And it's not going to be easy. And it seems like our people, unfortunately, are stuck on stupid in regards to how we move forward on this level in regards to this pandemic. But I just say, like you say, you got to take care of yourself. You got to do the best that you can, man. And you got to become comfortable in what you're dealing with and your surroundings. Because let me tell you, man, I don't think these people care about us. I really don't.
Well, you say you don't
think.
That's a new thing.
A lot of people think that they do care about us. But listen, man, I just want to say it was good to hear Sarah. I haven't heard Sarah in a long time. Only thing that could be better is Brother James calling up with his dire forecast for what's going to happen to black folks, when it seems more and more, when you think about it, James may be more right than we can imagine, because the way it looks, they're trying to eliminate as many people as possible in this country. But as always, keep up the good work. Brother Richard, are you back to work yet?
I never stop.
Oh, but I'm saying you got to go to the museum, or you working from home?
Oh, no, everything's virtual now.
Okay, well, hey, that should be better. All you need is a good computer, brother. But look, man, y'all have a beautiful night. And, hey, Elliot, how's the barber business going, man? you doing private clients or you open up your shop?
No. It's private by appointments. You know, we trying to do all the protocols, taking temperatures and masks and everything, gloves. Doing the best
so
we can.
You had to go out there and get one of those temperature machines to put on the forehead, huh?
Yeah. You got to do what's right to protect yourself and the community.
Well, listen, man, I'm just glad to know that you're able to open back up and try to have some semblance of income coming in, because it seems like in certain places they're going to have to shut down again. I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen with New York, man. I'm just waiting to see, because my biggest concern is come December, January, and February where we'll be at. I don't know, man. I'm just hoping, because they don't know what they're doing with the school system. I got friends of mine who are bus drivers. They don't know what's going on. It's just crazy. And the sad thing is you got an individual like Trump in office who's just a complete idiot, man. You know, but he take care of his friends, because like I was telling the brother, if he didn't pardon Roger Stone, it was going to be some hell to pay, because I knew Roger wasn't going to do a night in jail. And sure enough, he ain't going to do a night in jail. And I don't think he care about being labeled the felon or anything, as long as he ain't spending no nights in jail. And I guess Trump knew that that's what he had to do. So I had to give him credit. But like I said, and I'll say this to the bitter end, if Trump doesn't get reelected, New York State is going to make love to him. They're going to do him dirty. They're going to pay him back for all of his evil. Because the people that's in the position to bring him up on charges, statewide, they're gunning for him. So that's why this whole Supreme Court decision in regards to his taxes having to be given over to the controller is going to be real interesting as they move forward. I even heard in New York State they got a hearing for this Thursday. So that's going to be interesting. But we'll see. I mean, I just wish the man had some character and he would try to do the right thing. But it don't seem like he has the character or the intelligence to do the right thing. So it's just going to cause nothing but trouble in this country in the long run, because I think he knows what's going to happen to him, and I can't see him giving up that easy. So it's no telling what may happen. He don't care, you know? But listen, man, have a good night, and as always, keep doing what you're doing. My brothers, be good.
Right.
All right.
Richard, we got two left. Let's do it. Let's go to 314. 314?
Hey, Elliot, I enjoy you guys. You guys are doing a fantastic show tonight.
Thank you, sir.
I have one question. One question I have is this. This is a statement that I always make. The truth does not require a defense. If you're telling the truth, Elliot, you don't have to defend the truth, right?
Right.
It is only the lie that requires a defense, right? Because when you get to talking, if it is true, it is true. Nothing can change the truth. A lie can come and try to mimic the truth, but it doesn't change it. The brother's response to Deshaun Jackson, sometimes the best response is no response. Mm-hmm. If it's the truth, I don't have to defend it. You don't have to defend it. I mean, it is only the liar that spends all his time trying to supplant the truth. The truth is the truth, and there's nothing you can do to stand it. A liar, the defense for a lie requires another lie to substantiate the lie, which keeps going on to another lie. If you look at, for instance, Trump tells a lie, his people have to tell a lie to back up that lie. And somebody else has to tell a lie to justify that lie. It's a chain. So if the information that he said about the Jewish people is true, it doesn't require defense. That is, and you could, there's so, you could bring up 1,000 pieces of information that would justify everything that he said. And you know information, I've heard it on this show and other shows, where what he was saying is absolutely true. And if you've lived around, I've lived 57 years, the black community was inundated with Jewish business because they couldn't do business with other whites. You heard your mother say, I'm going to go down and get some new furniture from that Jew. Mm-hmm. Or we brought up the term, you know, in Chicago, they have a whole side of the city called Jewtown. I mean, it is actually called Jewtown. Mm-hmm. And it was
they
called
had, they had one here in Philly.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right. And so it is not like it's, oh, my God, you're saying something different. If you told somebody in Chicago, I'm going over to Jewtown, they knew exactly what you were doing. And the term that they were using, they had a reason for that term and all that. So we have to get out to the position of always defending. If we're right, we don't have to defend the truth. The truth will always speak for itself. It is the liar that has to put up the defense. If the white people are not the original Jews, time will tell. You can only hide a lie for so long. Eventually, the truth comes out. And so I'm not in a defensive mode on this. It's not even a concern of mine. What I know the truth, and then I just reconcile with the truth that this is what is really happening, and this is what's taking place. I did some research on this whole Jewish black thing and all that, and the evidence is overwhelming. It's not even like it's suspect or this is might be. Or, I mean, it is the dialogue. The science is simple. It's very simple science of what we're looking at. But there's a group of people that say, you cannot say anything about me. If you say anything about me, we're going to persecute you. Why? Because you don't want the truth to get out, or what are you afraid of? It's going to come out. I mean, anybody do the research, you find out that, hey, this information is not even close anymore. I mean, the Ethiopian Jews, the Jews in Nigeria, all those aspects, you can't even debate that. That is just simple science. You know, years ago, and I'm going to be very brief, years ago they used to have this controversy over if the Africa was the cradle of civilization. That's not even debatable anymore. Even the most staunch white scientists or European scientists or whoever don't even debate that anymore. That is a foregone conclusion. They say, we don't even do that. But they came up with everything, the Shroud of Turin, all that, to try to justify it. And eventually, it became abundantly clear that we don't even have an argument on that. The truth prevailed. And in this case, the truth will prevail once again. So I don't feel like I have to defend Deshaun Jackson. I don't even think Deshaun Jackson had to defend himself. I would have simply have just said, my words speak for themselves, so prove me wrong. And I think people would have had a hard time trying to prove him wrong. I think he was probably naive and afraid, but what's to be afraid of? The truth is nothing to be afraid of. The truth will always speak for itself. And if we are the original people, if we are who we say we are, nothing can change it. You know, it's like I'm a Christian, and I respect all religions. It's like when Paul was talking to Gamaliel, if this thing be of God, who could stop it? But if it's not, it will to nothing. So if we are the original ones, nobody can stop it. The facts will speak for themselves. I enjoy you, brothers, as always a highlight of my life to listen to your show and all that. And I have been referring the heck out of you guys in St. Louis to everybody, telling my friends, man, you got to hear these brothers. This is a good show. So I've been your advocate down here trying to tell everybody to get on, because I think there's knowledge out there that people are missing. And when they get access to it, when you know better, when you know the information, then you can do better. And I think one of the biggest faults that we have is that we don't have all the information at our fingertips. It's not like it's not there. It is there. And you guys do a very good job of providing that information. And I just long for the day one day when you guys are on the station where anybody in St. Louis can turn on the radio and hear you guys on a daily basis. So keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother, for your contribution.
Thank you.
We got two more, Richard. Let's go to 215. 215.
Good afternoon or good evening.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is, you have me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What's your name, brother?
Excuse me?
What's your name?
Oh, Brother Poindexter.
Oh, okay. All right, Poindexter.
How you doing now?
I'm fine. You know, being a student of history, you got to know when history is actually in motion, opposed to looking back on a crystallized history. Like when one of the things about history everybody always says is that things repeat itself. During the after all the wars, we always had a problem, there has always been a problem with having spokesmen for Black people. And right now, there is no one spokesperson. And what they did in the past was they used entertainers like Louis Armstrong to control a lot of the entertainers, send them out on missions to play and to entertain. They used films like Amos and Andy, distributed amongst the troops. They used Little Abner to kind of fix the lower class white folks' way of thinking. Well, one of the things I learned, you know, I was fortunate enough to go to college, was that athletes generally are not political. They're very apolitical. Some are. Some may have strong opinions, but they're athletes. They put balls in holes and they run. They do athletics. But they're always called upon to be spokesmen because they're not political. And when an athlete makes a comment, he shouldn't have as much attention as a person like Richard and yourself, who are expert in narratives, who are experts in philosophical thinking. It shouldn't be left up to athletes. So what's happening now is the conversation is being run by comments made by athletes. And an athlete, they're nice guys. Now, I'm not knocking athletes. They serve a purpose. They're entertainment. They're not political. They're entertainment. Now, even there are exceptions. Chappelle is an exception. And I'm not talking about I'm talking about pre-Floyd. I'm not talking about pre-Floyd Chappelle. I'm talking about the 846 Chappelle. He is on the point. Now, I only called to throw that in. We've got to know when the brainwash is in effect. You never know when you're in it unless you've seen it before or you can have a different perspective. But as long as we talk about what athletes say, we're not going to go to where you've recommended we go. That is to our front line. That everybody find their front line and work like hell to defend their position on their front line. So I think that, you know, but the reason I called was about the virus. I think that you guys have set up and created a network now that people can realize and actually visualize independent education. And I think the best thing we can do is just keep our kids out of school because somebody put it very well. It is an experiment. Whenever you've got a government going against the CDC, it's a problem because the CDC is – who do you call on when you want to control smoking, breast cancer, prostate cancer, obesity? It's the CDC. But all of a sudden now their word is the gold standard around the world. They have been saving the entire world with their knowledge base. But politically, they've been stifled. And it's a shame. But if we don't move along that line, I mean, I think that's the line opposed to the politics that we politically, that is, have our goods and services centered around saving our children. The schools should be our front line, or should be somebody's front line. And so I think you should rally the teachers, rally the internet, rally the Zooms, rally the independent lessons to teach toward these standardized tests. And they don't have to be in the classroom. And that's all I have to say.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Thank you for your contribution.
So call on the teachers. Call on the teachers. Call on your prime military people. Call on your farmers. Call on your doctors who may be retired to save our kids. It's the kids we have to save now because the young people, the teenagers, unfortunately, this is sad, they've not gotten the message. They're partying.
they're moving around like it's, you know, like, hey, they're living. There's a song. They're living like it's bulletproof. The virus is not going anywhere, and it won't go away. And it's not the vaccine we're looking for. The vaccine is, that's another arena. What we're looking for is treatment. Treatment. Because the vaccine, well, I can go on and on about what a vaccine, that we need herd immunity. And having the dialogue be whether we take the vaccine or not is not the right question. That's not the question. The question is, what kind of vaccine are we going to use? What is going to be its percentage for herd immunity? What part of the experiment will we be in reference to testing the vaccine? Because the vaccine has to be tested. But I would not be afraid of a vaccine. That is not the fear. Chloroquine is not a hoax. It is not a joke.
Okay.
It is not a joke. Look at what's going on in Ghana. Look what's going on in Nigeria. Look at their rates. Look at their death rates. Look at their people. Look how they live. What are they doing? They're taking chloroquine. They're taking it. Even a clock that's broken is right twice a day.
Twice a day, yeah.
And I think... I hate to say Trump is right in anything other than being ugly, but he's right on the chloroquine. But anyway, and it's not for sick people, for people who aren't sick and people who just get sick.
Brother, thank you for your contribution.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good one. Richard, we got one more call here in the time that we got left. I want to billboard a new program that's starting on Time for Awakening Media, and it'll be on Monday evenings from 8 to 9 in between Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed and Cobra's program, Conversation Reparations. And the host is the former president of the Association of Black Psychologists, somebody we're familiar with. She's been a past guest on Time for an Awakening, and the program is Black Therapy Central. And it looks like we have Dr. Mawia Kamban with us to kind of billboard the program. Dr. Kamban, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing great.
Welcome, welcome.
Yes, I've been listening in. You have some very active callers.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to tomorrow. Want to give you a few minutes to kind of billboard things and let the folks know what they're going to be hearing on Black Therapy Central.
Okay, well, tomorrow is our inaugural program, and it won't be the full program. We'll basically be coming on to talk about the things that will be going on. So what we are going to do is have a program on healing. That's our theme. Of course, these are primarily Black psychologists, but we see healing in a more holistic sense. So we're talking about therapists who may be psychologists, social workers, LPCs, but it also may be people who are involved in herbal medicines and other forms that bring about healing in our community. We'll also be talking about issues that plague us as a people and how we might suggest working through those issues, things like parenting during the COVID or even beyond. Things like we have one psychologist on who talks about the history of hair. We talk about men's issues and the myth and stigma against getting psychological and mental health treatment. So there are a lot of different topics across the weeks that we will be addressing. And what better platform than this to do it on?
I want to thank you for considering us to put this information out on, and we'll be looking forward to the program. Again, the listening audience can hear the program on Monday evenings from 8 to 9 on Time for an Awakening Media also on the Black Talk Radio Network. It'll be podcast, and it'll be podcast also on Time for an Awakening Media and other formats, other platforms. You'll be able to get the podcast if you don't hear it live, but it'll be aired live on Monday evenings between 8 and 9.
Right. And we encourage our listeners to go to blacktherapycentral.com to see the kinds of things that we have been doing in our short period. We began this in October, but didn't really launch until just before the COVID hit. So it was very timely that we could do that. And so we brought together therapists and people who facilitate healing from around the globe in May. And we broadcast, as you know, to 37 countries and 38 states. And we had a really ecstatic way of addressing those issues. And we had a 10-day healing journey that followed that, and that's still up on our website. Many families, many individuals participated in that. So we want to bring that same quality of holistic healing to our community and talk about the issues from the perspective that we have. We also encourage our audience to let us know what they'd like to hear, and we would try to address that as well.
Dr. Cambaugh, thanks for coming on to Billboard the Program, and we'll be looking forward to it.
And yeah, I probably need it.
Thank you so much, Elliot and Richard, for having this program.
We
look forward to continuing.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. All right. Richard, looking forward to that broadcast. You know, we've talked and you've talked on the program about the trauma that Black families and Black people have faced. So now it's going to be a program on Time for an Awakening Media where you're going to have some of our top professionals in that field. Dr. Cambaugh used to be the president. She was the past president of the Association of Black Psychologists. So you're going to have some of our top professions in that field of Black psychology, because believe me, I'm not a psychologist, but I've heard from other professionals that Black psychology and the approach to it is different than Europeans. So we're going to have this program on, and people listen to the subject matter. Just like Dr. Cambaugh said, if you have any suggestions or anything, you can always write in. I know she'll have plenty of ways where you can do that. They'll be announced on the program. But I'm excited about her being on. The Black Farmers is also going to do a program very soon to tell us some of the things that they're doing as a collective in the Black Belt down there that I think a lot of our listening audience will be excited about. So that's two new programs that will be coming on Time for an Awakening Media that will also give more enlightenment in our struggle and ways that we can utilize some type of unifying and organization. So I'm just looking forward to it. Yeah.
Great. Mind, body, and soul.
Before we leave tonight, I just want to give out the lineup on Time for an Awakening Media. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, African Perspectives with Brother Oshie. Always interesting topics and dialogue on African Perspectives. That's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Later on Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. He had a big food giveaway down there, this studio down there, Richard.
I heard.
Yeah, he showed on social media, and he loaded up about 100 boxes of food and was giving it away down there. So Jihad is active in the community. I got to tip my hat to him. He's always on the move. And for a family man, I don't know that he has the time, to be honest. He was down there today. I called him to tell him to save me a box of food. But I heard the people, you know, talking in the background and asking for stuff, and he was, you know, he couldn't focus in on me to messing with him on the phone, so I'll get to him tomorrow. But I just mentioned that again to his program, Acres of Diamonds, Brother Jihad Ahmed, from 6 to 8 on Time for an Awakening Media. You just heard Dr. Mawia Kamban, Black Therapy Central, will be broadcast from 8 to 9 on Time for the Awakening Media every first and third Monday. Conversation, Reparations, and COBRA's program is 9 to 10 on Time for the Awakening Media. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 7 to 9 Central. On Thursdays, after 7, some of the young ladies from out of Black Reality Think Tank. The program is called After 7. It airs on Thursday evenings from 7 to 9. On Time for an Awakening Media. On Saturdays at from 4 to 6. Sisters, Black Sisters Talk on Time for an Awakening Media. That's 4 to 6. And from 6 to 8, the Elders of Sankofa. So check it out. Several new programs on Time for an Awakening Media. Always some interesting information. Check everybody out on Time for an Awakening Media. And if you miss it live, you can always get the podcast by going to the website, timeforanawakening.com. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion and dialogue as always. And we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turns to try and save the world. Such a small part of the thing that they'll soon be right at the heart of. My little Tommy, he said he wants to be a fireman. Oh,
children. Soon it will be their turns to try and save the world. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. To save the children. To save the children.